go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this 21st day of January, 2022. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, multimedia, madcap extravaganza that is The Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, yep, and all time zones in between, and the great globe round. Hi, I'm Robin, and it's Friday on the front porch, our weekly roundup and wrap-up of cussing and carrying on and discussing and talking about the news of the day and maybe any stories that we missed. If you'd like to be part of the Friday on the front porch colloquy, well, run over to HeadOn.live. There's a button at the top that says, and click on that button, and zing, there you go. And you will be over the river and through the trees and into the old holler tree that we sublet from the Keebler Elves, where we keep the extraordinary, ordinary roundtable around which we gather each and every Friday. Okay? I'm looking forward to looking forward to the conversation, and every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude. This program is no different, and so thanks go out to our 21st day of the month subscribers. Thanks, and we've got a brand new subscriber. Thank you so much to Karen. Hey, Karen, thank you, and Karen's going to get her first month's subscription doubled thanks to our friend Tim. And that means there's spaces for four more $10 a month subscribers by the end of January. So thank you very kindly for that. And it's great to have you be part of the subscriber group that helps keep all the plates spinning on all the sticks. And thanks go out also to our pal Harold, president and CEO of Sotstris, the Secret Open Carry Happy Trails Roundup Society. Thank you for being, well, now we've got two 21st Day of the Month subscribers, and that's just wonderful. Thanks so much. Now, where does that leave us? That leaves us at 1,020 dollars to go to finish the week. Basically, that's Friday, today's funding, Thursday's funding, Wednesday's funding, and $120 of Tuesday. So that's magnificent. Well, hopefully we will knock all of that down. And there is some good news, namely that, Chris in Germany told me that she had not gotten to hear or see the debate, the end of democracy debate in the Senate of the United States, and only because I ran the debate here on the program did she get to experience it. And so she's put a challenge on the table, a doubling challenge, a matching challenge. Chris in Germany will match every contribution up to and including $300 as the thank you, Georgia voters, for giving us senators Ossoff
and Warnock. I think that's a lovely sentiment. And hopefully folks will jump in on that. That would get us, if that challenge is met, that would get us 2 days finished up. That would, let's see, that would be Wednesday and Thursday, and leave us with a chunk of Tuesday and today for funding. And we badly need to, because I'm getting eaten alive right now between, you know, just the regular bills and the added costs of winter. It's kind of rough. But hopefully, like I said, folks will jump in on that. And thank you again to our new subscriber, Karen. Now, where do we begin for the program this evening? Well, everybody has heard, I presume by now, everybody's heard about the... look, I'm not trying to be cruel, and I'm certainly not mocking, but when you're 74 years old and you say, "I am scared to death of COVID," and you've had a number of health scares already, and then you say, "But I will not be mandated or forced to wear a mask or take a vaccine," and then you die unvaccinated? How is that not a cigarette smoking is a form of slow rolling suicide. How is that not also? And I'm talking, of course, about Meatloaf. He would do anything for love, but he wouldn't do that. And we finally found out what that was. It was get a vaccine so we could keep on living and loving. Lord, I think I wore out a couple of 8-track tape versions of the Bat Out of Hell album. On a hot summer night, would you offer your neck to the wolf with the red roses? Oh, yeah. What a line. Jesse Lee Peterson. No, we're not going to do that. We're not going to do that. And of course, he was Eddie in Rocky Horror Picture Show. But he was also a pal of Nitwit Nero, COVID Caligula. Apparently a big-time maggot. And... well, that's a lot of who Omicron is killing right now. Oh, Mr. Loaf, if only you'd listen to the program and listen to Paul from Parts Unknown, maybe you'd still be with us. Also, though, farewell to Honka Horka. No, this is not... That's someone's name. This is not a... A character from any of the Star Trek universes. No. Honka Horka was a beloved folk singer from the Czech Republic. It was a couple of days ago that her son announced her death. And she was 57 years old. And she did commit suicide. I mean, she died of COVID, but she was unvaccinated and deliberately exposed herself to COVID-19. In fact, her son, Jan Rek, said that he and his father had the coronavirus, and because in the Czech Republic, public spaces like theaters and bars require proof of vaccination, or else they require proof that one has recovered from a recent infection, and Honka Horka deliberately exposed herself to her son, Jan Rek, and his father, so that she could get a recovery pass and get into public venues without having to get a vaccine. And after she thought she'd gotten over it, she said, "Now there will be theater, sauna, a concert." And it didn't quite play out that way. She was getting ready to go out for a walk, and she felt her back hurting and went and laid down. In about 10 minutes, it was all over, Jan Rek, her son, said. She choked to death. Jan Rek at least understood, recognized who took his mama from him. Speaking to the anti-vaxxers whom his mother believed, she said, he said, "You took away my mom, who based her arguments on your convictions. I despise you." Her philosophy was that she was more okay with the idea of catching COVID than getting vaccinated. Not that we would get microchipped or anything like that. But she believed the mask holes and the COVIDiots. She believed the spreadnecks. And it cost her her life. The Czech Republic is absolutely afire with COVID. They've had over almost 2.7 million cases. They, this past Wednesday, recorded 28,564 new daily cases. This month, which is two-thirds gone, the Czech Republic has had 245,696 cases. They have about a 63% vaccination rate. It's just sad. It was suicidal behavior. And, you know, I know we have some behavioral health professionals in our community. So I will put this question, and to the general community at large. After almost 2 years of dealing with this, and I frankly think it's already been 2 years, isn't it about time to start considering, because I haven't seen any information that we are already, to start considering refusal to get the vaccine or anti-vax behavior, anti-mask behavior? Isn't it about time that we start considering that not an issue of personal freedom, but rather an issue of mental illness, behavioral health illness, behavioral unhealth? It's waited for a while, and it feels like we should. I mean, if we consider some of the other things that are taken as behavioral health matters, how is this? How is the refusal to vaccinate not a bad behavioral health choice? If I'm completely wrong, please tell me. As Randy Radar says, paraphrasing from Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, she chose unwisely. Yeah, she did. Ron and Raleigh with a note. "Well, now I believe we know what made Meatloaf. Louis Anderson went to his long home as well. I saw that." Well, that saddened me to see the news of Louis Anderson. Yeah, I'm getting messages that we've had a blip in the stream. Another one of those weird instances where it doesn't show up on the interface here, so it must be like internet weather or something. I hope that's not going to be how the program is for the remainder of the evening. That would suck a lot. Meanwhile, I had planned to just kind of stay home today and just, you know, all snuggled up in my micro fleece nightie and trying to just keep warm. We've got a balmy 56 degrees here in the fabulous Horn Studios at the magnificent Kincaid Mansion. But I wanted to go out because, well, it was another installment in Robin's Quest for Fire. Nope. Propane not be had. And apparently within three counties, because I tried Nicholas County, Fayette County, and Raleigh County, and I guess everybody's got the same idea, as do I. Blipping again at 5:17 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Good God. I hope it doesn't blip all the way out. I was looking forward to our conversation. And that having been said, let's bounce around and take in a few other aspects of the news of the day. You know, we talked the other day about the guy who was, his wife went to court to take him out of a hospital or prevent him from being disconnected from the ventilator and take him out of a hospital in Minnesota. He wound up in Texas, where I'm sure he's being treated with sheep dip or horse paste or something like that. This is actually, I was reminded of that when I saw this story. This is good news, actually. Dr. Merrill Nass from Ellsworth, Maine, presently has her medical license suspended for 30 days. Maine's Board of Licensure in Medicine took that action and also ordered her to undergo a psychiatric evaluation after it came to light that Dr. Merrill Nass of Ellsworth, Maine, was treating her patients with ivermectin, you know, horse paste, sheep dip, and hydroxychloroquine, and lying to her patients about COVID-19. The Maine board issued a ruling on January the 12th and said that to permit Dr. Nass to continue practicing medicine, quote, constitutes an immediate jeopardy to the health and physical safety of the public who might receive her medical services. The good news gets better because the 70-year-old is part of a group called Children's Health Defense. And that's a gang of spreadnecks and mask holes and COVIDiots. Anti-vaxxers who bark and grunt and hoot, shriek and scream about how the vaccines is a-killing our chirrins. Dr. Nass used her blog and Twitter to spread the disinformation. And she got stone cold caught treating a patient of hers, or patients of hers, who had COVID, again, with ivermectin. And let's be clear, the Food and Drug Administration has revoked the emergency use authorization for hydroxychloroquine. because it doesn't work. She was doing telephone diagnoses, telehealth. An unvaccinated patient of hers, she diagnosed with COVID over the phone and sent in a prescription for him to have a 5-day course of ivermectin, which, by the, to be fair, is effective against river blindness caused by parasites. Hint, we know this, COVID-19 is not a parasitic infection. No. And when the patient began, and see, we don't hear so much in terms of real-world effects of horse paste, ivermectin. I mean, there's a human form, let's be fair. Pink Shrek took some. The patient that she prescribed the 5-day course of ivermectin to wasn't able to make the call himself. So his son called Dr. Nass's office and said, my daddy is borderline delirious. He moans on every exhale and he says snippets of things that don't make sense at all. Both of his parents, the man said, were not doing well at all. My dad's breathing is very shallow, and when he tries to breathe deeply, he begins to cough violently. I don't see any signs of improvement. When do I need to consider taking him to the ER? Should we be taking more ivermectin? No, no, no. Because remember, one of the side effects of ivermectin is explosive diarrhea. She lied to a pharmacist. Dr. Ness did. She told the pharmacist that her patient had Lyme disease so she could prescribe hydroxychloroquine to treat his COVID. She explained herself to the medical board saying, oh, this was the only way I could get a potentially life-saving drug for my patient. It was not a potentially life-saving drug. She even admitted it to the state legislature of Maine in a Zoom call. She said, I lied and said the patient had Lyme disease, and so the pharmacist dispensed the medication only because I lied. She even prescribed hydroxychloroquine for a pregnant mother-to-be and a certified midwife nurse dropped the dime on her. Among other things, she said that the Centers for Disease Control, Dr. Nass did, Centers for Disease Control is a criminal agency. A little correction on the paraphrase earlier. Ralph says, no, Robin, she chose poorly Horka Honka, Honka Horka. I'm not funning there. I just got it backwards. But the funny thing is, Dr. Nass, her license is only suspended for 30 days pending a hearing that has not yet been scheduled. You got to wonder how many more of these quacks there are in the country. And we've got America's frontline doctors. That includes, what was her name? She's from the Houston area. She's the one who said that demons steal men's dinguses and hide them under the sea, and that's the cause of erectile dysfunction. Yeah. Now, we had the audio the other day of Rona Death Sentence, the white supremacist adjacent governor of Florida, who only became governor with the help of real live, no kidding, Nazis. We had the audio of him a couple of weeks ago sounding like he was at death's door. You know. Yeah, maybe, I don't know, maybe he's gotten better. But it certainly made people curious. And according to the Orlando Sentinel, he was asked about whether he had been boosted. Earlier in January, he was interviewed by that walking, talking disservice to any idea of journalism, Maria Bartiromo, over at Fox News TV Radio Rwanda. And he said, well, I've done whatever I did, the normal shot. What it boils down to is he got J&J. Now, on the other hand, he says, I can't, you know, because he was later questioned about the booster, saying, so that's something that, you know, I think people should just make their own decisions. I don't know if he was coughing. He was in Sarasota, Florida, today. He said, so that's something, you know, I think people should just make their own decisions on. I'm not going to let that be a weapon for people to be able to use. A weapon. Simply telling people that you did the right thing, you did the intelligent thing, you did the non-MAGA thing, and got the booster, is a weapon in maggot land. Yeah. But the thing is, he's got a feud going on with Nitwit Nero, or in this case, COVID Caligula, because I know that it's bizarre to think it, but Rona Death Sentence thinks that he is thinks that he's presidential timber. And Nitwit Nero, COVID Caligula, is mad at him for thinking that. And so, come on, let's you and him fight. And may no one win, and may neither of them win, and may they both lose badly. Well, son of a gun, how about that? Children's Health Defense... I knew I'd run across that phrase before. Stephen New York says, well, look who's right there among them. Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who is now hustling a book called The Real Anthony Fauci. And they're going to have themselves a super spreader rally in Washington, D.C. on this coming Sunday. Defeat the mandates, an American homecoming. Vaccinated, unvaccinated, Democrat, Republican, independent. Americans of all types, backgrounds, religions, united we stand in peace, march. Won't be a mask among them. And they will, of course, be barking and hooting and shrieking and shouting and viral spraying. And they'll be packed all butthole to belly button and grunting and grabulating and, you know, all of that. And they put out a thing called the Defender. This is just vile. This is sickening. And there's a message from Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Let's see what this wickedness sounds like.
wanted was for that child to be healthy, and I prayed about it, and I didn't care if it was a boy or a girl, or whether he or she was good in sports or good in school. I just wanted a healthy, happy baby. And I can't imagine the heartbreak.
Ooh, the creepy music.
Parents, when they find out that their child isn't healthy, and particularly if they find out that the injury that that child is suffering was completely unnecessary.
Now, let's bear in mind that there's an image that goes with this of some anti-vaxxer holding a sign that says, "My child has autism." That's one of the most sickening underlying cruelties of this anti-vax garbage. The idea that a child being neurodivergent is caused by a vaccine, it is not true. And B, by not vaccinating their children, these anti-vaxxers are telling the world that they would rather their child die of a preventable disease than be neurodivergent. That's abuse. That is outright cruelty.
I'm Robert F. Kennedy Jr., and I'm the chairman of the board and the senior prosecuting attorney for Children's Health Defense.
Here's a hint. There's no prosecuting attorney for Children's Health Defense. He can also call himself the czar of all the Russias, but he ain't senior prosecuting attorney. Generation sick.
The greatest crisis that America faces today, as big as any of our environmental crises, is the chronic disease epidemic in America's children. The generation of American children born after 1990 are arguably the sickest generation in the history of our country, with chronic ailments and pediatric rates of some chronic conditions that are the highest in the world. For example, according to CDC, one in every six American children has been diagnosed with a developmental disability, such as autism, ADD, ADHD, or learning disabilities. And according to HHS, and a stop.
Oh, make it stop, Robin. God, this is deadly quackery. And there they, I didn't know that. Let me pull up my, there it is. GK writes and says, "The real Dr. Fauci, the quack Gary Null, has been hawking that book on his fucked up radio show. He even had the quack Joe Rogaine on his stupid podcast talking about Kennedy's book." Oh, there's a couple of people I'd certainly go to for medical advice. That Netflix reboot of Mr. Ed Revisited, Episode 2, Christopher in Oregon writes, "Episode 2, supervillain Joe Rogaine has yet to be found with Mr. Ed's ivermectin stash. Patrolmen scour the highways and byways looking for Joe and oily man Giuliani, while Wilbur continues to try and comfort poor, suffering Mr. Ed. Very special guest starring Donald J. Trump as Mr. Ed's steaming, wormy pile of fecal matter." I mean, you get a cowbell for the creativity, Christopher, but my God, man. You just took an axe handle to dinner in the Eastern Standard Time Zone. Steaming, wormy pile of fecal matter. Steve in New York says, "I'm the Attorney General of the state of inebria." Yeah. I'm the Solicitor General of the state of confusion. I think we've got a thing going now. What's your official, unofficial, political office. Okay, thank you for the science, Brendan. Please forgive me, but viruses are classified as obligate intracellular parasites. Don't for a second think that I advocate that absolute moronic asshole belief that ivermectin or any other COVIDiot recommended medications have any role in treating the Trump virus. It's just that virology was my field of expertise, and I couldn't handle the thought that you might get some grief from the knuckle-draggers about that. Peace, lady. Thank you, Brendan. That's so sweet and so handy to have the information. I appreciate it. I wondered if... Yeah, but it's not a parasite like a hookworm or a roundworm or a flatworm or an amoeba. I get your point, though. Thank you for that. And one of the funnier things out there, you know, I've been on hormone replacement therapy since September of 2020. And it is absolutely hilarious to me that there are COVIDiots out there now who are, I don't know, maybe it's a really, really complicated excuse. I mean, I was wearing lipstick behind my mask before I was out. What I mean by that is that there are COVIDiots out there now who are taking trans hormone therapy, female trans hormone therapy, to ward off the Rona. They're taking spironolactone, which is serves as an anti-androgen and has all kinds of side effects. I had to get off of it because it's potassium sparing, so that was back when I had to give up potatoes, tomatoes, avocados, that hurt. Green beans, any yellow or green vegetables, because too much potassium could build up in your system. I mean, when I was on spironolactone, I could eat a baked potato and it'd boom, you know, out like a light. But it also makes you, it's a diuretic and it makes you pee a lot, so you can't keep sodium in your system. And it turned out that I actually run low sodium sort of as a matter of course, and my magnesium runs low. And that stuff was giving me preventricular contractions like crazy. And it feels like shit. And you know, if anyone were transitioning and were to ask me, I would say no. Give the spironolactone a pass and suppress testosterone with estradiol alone. But that's kind of beside the point, except for the fact that there are COVIDiots out there. Oh, growing their little boobies. Thinking that it's going to keep them from getting the Rona. I saw one trans girl who said, you know, if it gets harder for me to get my transition meds because these assholes are out there snarfing up all the anti-androgens and estrogen, I'm going to be real pissed. And I can understand that. Jesus Christ, these people. It's not a half bad idea. Steve in New York says, can we start a petition to strip RFK Jr. of the K? What a joke to his and an affront to his daddy and his uncle. I thought you were going to say strip him of his law license because, you know. Robert F. Kennedy Jr., chairman and chief legal counsel of Children's Health Defense, last week said as the case went to court, Prime Minister Morrison's attempt to frame the Australian citizens as the victims of Djokovic's private health decision is a naked exercise in tyrannical political power. The sacrifices of the Australian people Morrison refers to aren't sacrifices at all. They are injuries born of his nonsensical policies, and Djokovic is bringing international attention to them. Well, I came to the conclusion that Novak Djokovic is just a... not to put a too fine a point on it.
You dick!
Yes. I don't see where there's an argument to be had that he isn't. And it was confirmed when John McEnroe, also you know, also, well...
You dick!
Came out in a vociferous defense of Novak Djokovic. And, well, RFK Jr. has made a joke of himself, you know, to the point that his own family has denounced him. And to think that I bobbed around in the Caribbean on the same boat as that asshole. Ugh. Randy Radar says, on the list of possible COVID cures, there's a cheap antidepressant drug that showed some signs of being helpful. It has not been approved yet by the FDA. And this note coming from Darlene in Connecticut. When does it become unfair to the vaccinated? After trying to get new clients for the past 2 years with no success, I felt like I was finally on the verge of getting that second client I so desperately needed to survive financially. You would think that working remotely and having a fully outfitted office would be a plus, but no. The pay scales on Indeed are awful, by the way, as I'm worth 3 to 4 times as much as what employers are offering through that awful job platform. This latest prospective client is offering a slightly better pay scale with the possibility of more. The second interview went extremely well, and they are impressed with my experience and my curriculum vitae. I figured I was a shoo-in. Finally, I was able to find out early next Monday or Tuesday if I got the contract. Then, I received a communication this afternoon that it is down to me and one other candidate. However, the other candidate contracted severe but not currently hospitalized version of COVID the day before their second interview. To the organization's credit, they're holding off making a decision until they give that candidate the second interview they had promised them. I expressed my well wishes for the other candidate and now must wait until Thursday or Friday next week to find out their decision. Talk about pins and needles. Oh, Darlene, I hate this. I hate this for you. And look, there could be multiple reasons why this person contracted severe COVID, whatever that means. But you know where my mind went, and probably yours, Robin, is going with this. Unless they could not get the vaccine for truly viable medical reasons, then... And what if the candidate does wind up hospitalized? Or is still too sick to do the rescheduled interview next week? At what point does it become unfair to me? I'm boosted. Suffered 4 days with the fallout from it. I stayed well hydrated, but still got muscle aches and a weird headache deep behind the eyes. But I'm as steeled against this thing as possible. I feel like we're in a type of invasion of the body snatchers with this thing. Eventually, they all succumbed. At what point does this psychologically ill and dying nation stop enabling those who refuse to get vaccinated? Anyway, I hope the person recovers and can do that second interview. I would rather not be selected because the other candidate died from COVID. That would not be an ideal way to start things off. God, my heart goes out to you, Darlene. I'm so sorry. You can take what Darlene writes about and extend it to the whole country. If we had handled this thing competently, say the way the first SARS was, or the first COVID was, it might never have left Asia. And we might have just cruised blithely along until it was gotten under control. But instead, COVID Caligula let it run wild while grunting about how he had done everything to stop it. No, he did nothing. His travel bans were meaningless because people continued to enter the country. My God, what we've lost. Consider what we've lost. Nearly 1 million people The economy's been trashed. We've lost more than the American Revolution, the War of 1812, the Mexican War, and the Civil War combined. Maybe even add in the Spanish-American War and World War I. And so Darlene's question, at what point does this psychologically ill and dying nation stop enabling those who refuse to get vaccinated? I mean, while I was out on Quest for Fire today, you know, I finally found some KN95 masks. And so there I was pushing my empty buggy through Wally World and standing there in the middle of the back alley, the big aisle toward the back. There was a huddled triad of people with no mask on. And I kid you not, I hung a left through children's clothing, took a right through men's socks, took another right down through arts and crafts to get around them and make sure that I was at least 15 to 20 feet away from them. You know those... And it was like, oh, Jesus. And on the one hand, you're thinking, but then you realize, no, I'll get my little girly butt kicked if I say anything. Because that's the other thing about these people. They're not particularly nice about things. And they don't like being called out for the super spreaders that they are. You know so there's an ad out there right now on TV for Microban, which proudly advertises that it kills 99% of all bacteria. And that stuff flies off the shelf now, because people are seeing it as a way to perhaps sanitize surfaces against corona. They're making a bit of a leap, because the coronavirus is, of course, a virus and not bacteria. But nevertheless, in the ad, they show how simply wiping down your furniture and your surfaces can leave bacteria behind, and new bacteria show up every time you touch it. And so they do this thing with an ultraviolet light where you see like little blue and purple handprints all over the coffee table from where the little pumpkins have been running around and playing. And so, you know, you're supposed to think, oh my God, I've got to go buy some. That shit's expensive. Maybe we need something. If you could see, if there was some way to visualize what is spewing forth from the unmasked, unvaxxed, it's sort of like that little cloud that goes everywhere with Pigpen from the old Peanuts, Charlie Brown comics. He always kind of had this little cloud of dirt around him. You think that would make a difference? Or being maggots, would they just literally wallow in their filthiness? I don't know. Steve in New York says, maggots taking trans meds, the goddess of irony has a seriously dark sense of humor. Oh, it's the only sense of humor she has. That's why it's irony. But, you know, this is the world we live in. And and the stupid is transferable. Today, Justice Sonia Sotomayor, and she and Ann's boy Neil are vociferously denying a report from NPR that NPR stands by. Nina Totenberg, the Supreme Court correspondent, filed it. That John Roberts actually went to Ann's boy Neil and said, won't you please just put on a mask so Justice Sotomayor can come be on the bench with us? And then he said, nope! Well, both Sotomayor and Gorsuch are claiming that that didn't happen, and so is Chief Justice Old Balls and Strikes. And frankly, I know it's just a human behavior thing, but the louder they deny it, the more I'm certain it's true. But Justice Sotomayor, alongside Justice Kagan and Justice Breyer, issued a blistering dissent from the opinion of the court that declined twice to send that miserable Texas abortion ban back to the trial court judge for further proceedings. And they sent it back to the Fifth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. And the Fifth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals is dilly-dallying and dithering about doing anything about it. Trying to make sure that this thing stays in effect. And it does. They did that yesterday. The court did. And in this dissent, Justice Sotomayor said that the court has done a grave disservice to women in Texas, and said Texas wagered that this court would not mean what it said, or at least that this court would not stand behind those words, meager as they were. That bet has paid off. The law is a convoluted law that instills terror in those who assist women exercising their rights between 6 and 24 weeks. This is the bounty bill. You know, the $10,000 bounty for anybody who performs or assists in an abortion. State officials knew, she continued, that the fear and confusion caused by this legal procedural labyrinth would restrict citizens from accessing constitutionally protected medical care. This case is a disaster for the rule of law and a grave disservice for women in Texas who have a right to control their own bodies. I will not stand by silently as the state continues to nullify this constitutional guarantee. And I'm sure she chose that word nullify, knowing full well the freight that that word carries. Because nullification is one of the nastiest, most vile, most hateful legal, quasi-legal arguments that this country has ever had to deal with. The idea that the several states, the legislatures therein, can simply declare which federal laws they like and don't like and will abide by. At which point in time, if nullification is a thing, then they're not really laws. Now, are they? And we're not really a United States. We're more of a confederation. And so that ruling came out yesterday as a kind of a gift to the barking and grunting and hooting, butthole to belly button, larping, smollicking, and grabulating marchers for life this weekend. Remember James Lankford of Oklahoma Stan said that he would proudly march with them this weekend in the frigid cold of Washington, D.C. Probably won't be a mask among them. Won't be any social distancing. And they are not very well behaved, frankly. I've seen the hotels where they stay. I've been there at the same time. Some believers in life. This filthy court is determined to see that go forward. Oh, and by the way, just one other thing. Scientists are now saying that what comes after Omicron may very well be considerably worse. As the New York Daily News said, get ready to learn more Greek letters. Scientists warn that Omicron's whirlwind advance practically ensures it won't be the last version of the coronavirus to worry the world. And alongside that, other COVID-19 news. Down in Texas, a U.S. district judge by the name of Jeffrey Brown has enjoined the Biden administration's employee COVID vaccine mandate. The Biden administration, I mean, if there's an upside to this, the Biden administration announced today that some 98% of the federal workforce has in fact been vaccinated. But Judge Jeffrey Brown said, the question here is whether Joe Biden could require millions of federal employees to undergo a medical procedure as a condition of their employment. That, under the current state of law, as just recently expressed by the Supreme Court, is a bridge too far. I'll bet you our dear friend John Bridavo knows exactly who Jeffrey Brown is, because he sits, Jeffrey Brown does, in the U.S. District Court in Galveston. You don't even have to guess who appointed this this clown in a black robe, do you? No. He's a maggot judge. And so they, just as we were talking about the other day, in the case of, you know, anything that was actually good for the American people should go into effect, it would be immediately appealed, trying to get it up to those six wild-eyed maniacs from the Federalist Society, and that they would start by forum shopping it in a state like Texas. That's exactly what happened here. Judge Jeffrey Brown apparently thinks that he's on a par with the President of the United States, saying, well, you know, the administration could use less invasive measures. They could just require masking and social distancing. Yeah, and wait. You know what he'd do with a mandate for that too, right? Yeah, there was a little bit of wiggle room in that 98% number. It's 98% of the federal workforce has been vaccinated or are seeking a religious or medical exemption. Good God. They're killers. I've said it for years. They're killers. This, then, well, this is the proof. Even as we're finding out that, as Leonardo Martinez, an infectious disease epidemiologist at Boston University, said, the faster Omicron spreads, the more opportunities there are for mutation, potentially leading to more variants. This news story was published today. And I don't know, maybe some of the newspaper's readers will be surprised to read Dr. Martinez's warning. It's not news to us, though. Paul from Parts Unknown has been telling us, and he mentioned it just a couple of nights ago, the business is mentioning that lottery ticket analogy, and that's exactly what Dr. Martinez is talking about here. So that joke, if we can call it that, that we really need to beat it with Omicron, because what comes next is pi, and we know how long pi goes on. One doctor, Dr. Stuart Campbell Ray at Johns Hopkins, said there's a possibility down the road for what he calls Franken variants, where you get double infected with two different variants. He said, people have wondered whether the virus will evolve to mildness, but there's no particular reason for it to do so. I don't think we can be confident that the virus will become less lethal over time. And more avenues for infection and evolution and mutation are emerging. Dogs, cats, deer, farm-raised mink, well, there's another argument against mink coats, are all vulnerable to the COVID virus. And it can run through them, and then, boop, go zoonotic right back to people. Yeah, what is it? That's. We really do have to get a recording of Scott saying, "We're all screwed, Robin," and we're getting screwed by cantankerous, obstreperous, cussed, mostly maggots who refuse to get the vaccine, you know, to own the libs. And it's infuriating. Even when they pay with their lives for it, it makes it no less infuriating. So here I have Robstered the first hour. Let's connect. Let's connect to the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable group. And see what's on other folks' minds, because I think we got a good group in there, and that'll only take a minute or so to get started. Through the first hour of the program, no responses to Chris in Germany's $300 thank you, Georgia voters, for sending us Senators Ossoff and Warnock. I hope that will not go unanswered. It would be fantastic to get that knocked out, and maybe, I don't know, could we have a Friday on the Front Porch Community Made Miracle? We're only $1,020 away from it. You all know I hate the fundraising, but it's the only way. This program apparently has value. God knows I love this community, and this is the only way I know of to keep it going. So let's go ahead and check in with Sparky. Hey, Sparky, how are you?
I'm fine. Skype is messing with me.
Yeah, I don't know why it defaults to that one view.
It just started just before he called me. I don't know if it's a Slack top I'm using or what.
Huh.
But everything seems to be working now.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I've got good audio from you, so. How are you?
Yeah. How am I doing?
Yeah. I noticed you haven't done any space folding today.
Nah, it was kind of windy out there. I did some work before 2 o'clock came in the house. I've got a big pile of wood I got to stack out there now.
Yeah, but spring is springing, right?
Well, it's trying to, but you never know. And it's like banana season.
uh, No, there's no doubt here.
All I know is frickin' winds, storms, and it never used to be this windy up here for some reason. But they did mention today that the state's going to increase the water allotment to districts this year.
Well, that'll be helpful in for the almond folks, right?
Well, they use mostly groundwater here. Or they pump it out of the river. One way or the other, it comes from the same store, water storage, Shasta Dam.
Well, I've noticed that, you know, the almond folks have really, I guess it must be a real bonanza for them. Because I was in the store the other day and I noticed a bag of almond flour. And, of course, almond milk. And there's ads all over the TV for milk from the land. But it is, as Paul from Parts Unknown noted, really, really water consumptive and water intensive.
Yeah, they've ripped out a hell of a lot of almond orchards up here. I mean, my wood guy finds it somewhere and he cuts it up, but he says he doesn't have any dry almond wood this year.
Does it burn well? I mean, is it a hardwood?
Well, he charges more for it, so I've never bought it. But I don't know if they're putting in more prunes. I mean, a lot of the orchards around here were old, and they ripped them out and put brand new orchards in. Like we got a walnut orchard across a 99 here. It was maybe put in, I want to say, 15 years ago or so. The trees are already huge, and my rancher friend put in two prune orchards.
I wonder if the plums from which they make the prunes, I wonder if those plums are really sweet and good.
I don't know. I've never asked him or asked anybody.
I love a ripe, fresh plum. It's such a flavor.
I mean, They get dehydrated around here. I've had dehydrators here for like forever.
I know. There's a lot. You know, it's funny. You can say, hey, do you like prunes? And people say, oh, I hate prunes. Hey, do you like dried plums? I love plums.
But I mean, most of the almonds are now down more so towards Chico, away from me. And they're doing walnut orchards up here because they don't take as much water, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know if like English walnut trees are the same, but I know that if you've got black walnut trees, they pump a lot of they put a lot of tannins into the soil, or so I've been told, and it makes it really hard to grow anything anywhere near a black walnut tree. I've seen that in real life.
Most of the orchard across the street from me is a English almond, I think, from walnut.
Yeah, black walnuts are just the devil to deal with.
Yeah, well, we had you just drive down the highway a little ways. And the highway was lined with these huge black walnut trees. And when the walnuts started falling off of them, since they were on the state access, people used to stop there and pick them all up, you know, park alongside the road and start picking up walnuts. This is a strange place up here. Did I lose you?
No, I'm right here.
Kevin, for some reason or another, you moved down to down into the speaker zone. How you doing?
Pretty good. How are you?
Good, good. Apart from, freezing and bitter winter. And
I'm in my car. I'm on the way home from work. Maybe that's why. I don't know. It's freezing up here, too.
I was about to say, I got no business complaining. It's probably worse there than it is here. But is Tracy feeling better?
Tracy's feeling better. She had a negative test. I had a positive PCR a week and a half ago. But I was probably at the tail end because right after that, my symptoms started waning. So he's back to work. I'm back to work. Doing good.
Excellent. I like it. A little bit of good news goes a long way.
Yeah. She's fine. She's fine. We got six people out at work COVID-related right now. Six carriers out. Either they got it or their kids got it or a combination of the two. I mean, they're all, everybody's been vaccinated, so none of them are severe, But you still got to stay out at work for a week, and boy, were we shorthanded this week,
But made it difficult, no doubt.
Oh, yeah. You guys got way more snow down there than we do.
Oh, really?
So, we only have a couple inches on the ground up here right now here in the Pioneer Valley. I'm in the Connecticut River Valley, and a lot of times the Berkshires right next to us, they'll get way more snow, and it's only 20 miles from me.
No, oh, I love the Berkshires.
Yeah, Berkshires are awesome. Pittsfield, Lee and Lennox, Great Barrington. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad to know that Tracy's recovered and that you had a mild case. Of course, I would imagine the vaccination rate up where you are is probably substantially higher than the national average, isn't it?
I'm pretty sure. I think it's 80-something% in Mass. At least 80-something%. So when I went, you there?
Yeah, here.
First I had a negative rapid. I think I told you that. But then I couldn't find a test to save my life. And then I said, it was a Monday. It was my last day off. I figured, let me just go to the emergency room and get a chest X-ray, and then, of course, they're going to test me, because I had lingering stuff on my chest. I just wanted them to rule out bronchitis, walking pneumonia. Who knows what it could have been, right? So I lucked out. I went in at 11 in the morning. This place called Noble Hospital here, right here in Westfield. There were six people in the emergency room, and there were 17 people. So, but anyway, long story short, I got a few hours. They put me and another guy in this double pod room, with a curtain in the middle. Find out he's not vaccinated.
Oh no.
Yeah, older than me. He wasn't being a jerk about it, but he was, kind of matter of fact about it, and I was like, whatever. And he was saying how he had a 90, I heard a doctor go talk to him, and he asked him, are you vaccinated? And the guy goes, no. And he asked some questions, and he goes, your oxygen's 98, it's not bad. Well, I'm going to give you a steroid shot and send you home. So that's what happened to him. He comes to me, and he goes, you tested positive, but your lungs are good. There's no problems with the x-ray. I'm like, okay. And like I said, a few days later, I felt better. So I was probably at the tail end when I tested positive. So that way I was able to get a test. I tried all over the place here. That was, and now Massachusetts is starting to go down. We're starting to go sharp drop now.
Well, I think I heard earlier today that there are some places that are seeing 5%, 10% drops, daily cases, that kind of thing. And I'm trying to figure out what the next big holiday is that'll cause all the super spread. But then again, I figured it out. You know, you got anti-vaxxers marching on Sunday. You got the marchers for life out there. Yep, there'll be some people taking some Rona home. It's infuriating. But at least there's no, on the upside, at least there's no snow in our forecast for the next couple of days. Then we get hammered again on Sunday.
Hey, sorry, Robin. I lost you guys.
Yeah, what?
Ben has asked for some time tonight.
Yeah, I saw that. Ben, why don't you go ahead, buddy?
Not there.
Huh. Well, dadgummit.
Might be hot.
Well, when he gets back, we'll give him the time that he needs. I see that Steve has his hand up. Steve, go, man.
Hey, how are you?
Okay.
You know, the one thing that really, I have to say, pissed me off about that Djokovic thing. This is a guy, I think I sent something where somebody said they think that he might sue Australia. And I thought, how fucking arrogant are you to think that you are a citizen of another country? What is that noise?
It could be the fan going here in the studio.
Okay. How arrogant do you have to be a citizen of another country, and you go to a country that you're not a citizen, they have rules, you don't follow them, and they say, sorry, you can't be here. I mean, what am I? Am I? Is the right wing coming out in me?
I don't think so.
I mean, it's CVS. Can you please mute?
Extra bucks.
I don't know. I
sprang.
I don't understand these people. I don't understand. I don't. Well, I don't know. I have lost the ability to understand. And then, you know, France has basically said, fine, you want to come to the French Open, here's what you got to do. I don't understand it. I don't understand people who think that they have a right to go to – when I go to another country, I'm like, it's like going to somebody else's house. And if I go to your house, Robin, and I say, hey, Robin, I'm gonna go in your house and not wear a mask, and I'm unvaccinated, and you say sorry, you can't come in, and I say, well, I'm gonna sue you because you won't let me in your house.
Exactly. I mean, he's a.
When you're in another country, you got to follow their rules.
Absolutely.
I mean, this is the ultimate case of when in Rome.
Yeah, I see it like going to a dinner party at somebody's house and wiping yourself with the drapes. That's what it is.
Yeah, it's all, how very January 6th of him.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. There's one other thing I wanted to talk about. What the hell was it? Shit. Oh, I wanted to say, I was looking at our, I think I sent, maybe I just sent this to my dad. Our figures have started going down drastically here in New York. They've probably gone down about 50% over the positives over the past, week to 10 to 14 days. We were up over 23-24% infection rate. We're down to around 11-12, which is still high, but that's a good thing that it's come down that far. There's something else. I don't know if you saw. Florida has surpassed New York in terms of total deaths.
Anybody surprised?
No.
The only thing that surprises me is that that information got out.
Well, I've been the Florida. Well, I'm honest. I just got that from the CDC website. I'm skeptical that Florida's numbers are legit. But Florida only reports once a week. I think they report on Tuesdays. Most other places report 5 days a week, so you won't get reporting Sunday, Saturday, and Sunday. But you know, I'm even more so losing my patience. I admire your compassion and continued concern of the unvaxxed, but I'm getting close to the Howard Stern thing. I look at this as it's very personal to me, because, and I don't mean that in a selfish way, these variants, which every person who's not vaccinated is a petri dish for variants, that's what caused everything. That's what caused Omicron. That's what made it so I couldn't go see my partner for now over 2 years. Couldn't go to Dudathon last weekend.
I think you made the right choice, though.
I have to tell you, there's a my friend texted me while it was going on, and he said, and I have to say I agree with you, it was very reluctant, and he said, you know, they have like before they watch the movie, in the middle of the beer tasting, they have like a contest for the costume contest. People dress up as various characters. And the person who won was a woman dressed as the rug.
Oh, that's brilliant.
And apparently there's a guy there who works at the draft house. I think he works at the draft house. He used to be head distributor for one of the, I think maybe Columbus Brewing Company or something. And he apparently asked if she liked to be peed on.
Well, that's just gross.
Of course it's gross, but in the context of the whole thing, there's something along those lines. It may not have been that. It may have been something else, but it was something about peeing on the rug.
She won't get COVID.
Well, no, she'd have to drink it.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. And then eat dirt. Has anyone heard this thing about people eating dirt?
Yeah, I heard that too.
Okay, spill.
No, people are eating dirt, so that's a COVID thing. And, that's right along with
drinking pee-pee.
Drinking pee and eating dirt. So
I'm going to have to modify my line about eating dirt and running rabbits. This is going to have to be making me want to drink pee and eat dirt.
There you go. Oh, that's priceless. Yes, eat dirt with a pea chaser. That's great. Every time you think it can't get crazier, it does. I mean, my law partner, he is not vaccinated. And I said to him the other day, and we don't work in the same office, and if it comes down to it, I won't work in the same place with him. He also asked me, excuse me, I asked him if he was. He says, well, I get the important vaccinations, the MMR and, you know, whatever. And he says, I got the pox at the party, so I'm okay. And I, you know, there's certain people I just, you know, I'm not going to convince somebody, you know. I like Matt, but he's one of these libertarian types. So everything to him is, you know, some affront to his freedom. So
freedom.
Did you hear about Mr. Principal's Rand Paul said he quit the congressional club or something like that? Because they make him reveal his personal medical information.
And that's a violation of his freedom!
And here's a HIPAA rights.
Hippopotamus rights.
Yeah, hippopotamus.
Goes rights. Against my HIPAA rights.
I liked what Darlene said. I thought she was dead on. When do we get to say, excuse me, you not being vaccinated violates my rights?
Sure as fuck does.
Yeah, it does. But, you know, maggots, you know, all rights are equal. You know how that goes.
Yeah. Well, maggot's going to maggot. I mean, so yeah. But I just want to chime in for a little bit. I'm going to mute and then just sit here and listen for the rest of the night because the more I talk about it, the more aggravated I get, and I don't really want to be aggravated.
Well, I God knows I understand the aggravation. And you know, we can kind of vent to each other and get it off our chests, so to speak. But the question becomes, how do you solve the problem? George just dropped me a note and said, Stephanie Miller is selling T-shirts that say, "Let's go Darwin."
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, and I need to send out thanks. Thank you to Ralphs, and thank you to Brendan. That just got us down below the $1,000 mark. So we are now down to, $975 bucks away from a Friday on the Front Porch Miracle, and... there remains in the thing, and I loved Chris's challenge. I don't know about y'all, but I thought it was just lovely. The thank you, Georgia voters, for giving us Senators Ossoff and Warnock challenge. And there's $265 bucks remaining on that challenge. So if you'd like to double your money, this is a great night to do it. You know, 5 becomes 10, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So thank you, Ralphs, and thank you, Brendan. And thanks, Brendan, for the earlier information about the nature of viruses. By the way, what I had a feeling this might light our buddy Robert in Australia up. Steve, when you shared that quote from RFK about Scott Morrison, Robert said, "Scomo's pollies? What pollies? Did someone mention my glorious leader's policies? ScoMo's policies? What policies?" When COVID-19 struck, he ummed and erred and handed all responsibilities for dealing with it over to the states. So instead of one policy to cover the whole country, we had 8. As for that tennis player, he lied. Kick him out. Personally, I'd have stuck him in jail for 3 months. We have Australians who've been stuck overseas since this started because there aren't enough flights or quarantine hotels to deal with them all coming home any faster. But tennis players get to waltz right in. And again, ScoMo did nothing until he got the feel of the public, which means an election is on the table, and soon. Signed, Robert in Oz, still in isolation, 2 years and 1 month later.
Jesus Christ.
God. I mean, you know, when I first started watching, or when Annette and I first started watching Station 11, it was really, I mean, it begins grimly because, well, I mean, I don't, no spoilers, but it sort of reestablished that awful sense of things are not okay. And when you sit and you realize that we are 1 year and 10 months from the anniversary of, you know, when we say the pandemic began. I mean, that's not true, but March, you know, mid March, the last big to do I remember was St. Patrick's Day of 2020. And a dear, dear friend whom she's become one of my best girlfriends. We were dancing, and she said, "I have a feeling we won't be doing this again anytime soon." And she was right. She was right. But like I said, what's the solution? The Supreme Court abrogated standing, settled law. And lawyers understand how upsetting that is. When it seems to make sense, and that, you know, the decision about the vaccine mandate, and now we got this Jasper in Texas saying that they're determined to let it burn through the country, and they think it's going to give us herd immunity, and there is no such thing as herd immunity without a vaccine. Doesn't exist. So, I mean, that's just my little moment of frustration. Hey, Ben's back with us. Ben, go ahead.
Hey, guys. I got some bad news today from my stepfather about my mother. She has COVID, and she's not doing very good. And I don't expect her to make it over through the night. And the strange thing about this is she got her first two shots, and explain to you what happened to her. So in November of last year is when she started going to the hospital. She's been in the hospital since last November. And what happened was, first thing that sent her to the hospital was she got really bad pneumonia and the heart failure, and actually had to go in and do surgery and move some of the liquid around her heart. Well, then after that, they found out that she's got bladder cancer. And then after that, she went to a rehab facility. And when she was in the rehab facility, she got a staph infection. And then she had to go back to the hospital. And then a week and a half ago, she came down with COVID. And to top that all off, she's already been, you know, immune compromised from the get-go with everything else that's been going on. Plus, she has rheumatoid arthritis, and she takes Remicade. And Remicade really weakens your immune system, too. So she's battling the COVID, but right now, it sounds like she's losing her battle.
Oh, Ben, I'm so sorry.
Really upsets me because she was really careful, and then she gets this damn staph infection, ends up back in the hospital, and she gets it while she's in the damn hospital. Of all places.
Yeah, that's basically MRSA, isn't it? Medication-resistant Staphylococcus aureus?
I think so.
That is, I mean, I'm not a lawyer and I don't play one on the radio, but that's what, and it doesn't matter to talk to a lawyer when a loved one is sick or in extremis, but that's on the hospital.
Yeah, it is. My stepfather said that she makes it home and she survives this. He's not going to tell her, because if he tells her, she'll get all upset and emotional, and he don't want her getting upset. But basically, he's going after the hospitals because they and the rehab facility too, because they should not let her get the staph infection for one day, and then the hospital should not let her come down with COVID. And my stepfather's a Trumper, but he's not a hardcore Trumper. He's not a Trumper anymore. what made him break away from Trump was the insurrection. He said that that was a mistake and that Trump is an asshole for doing it. And he said Trump deserves to go to jail for what he did on January 6th. And he said, I lost all respect for Trump and the Republican Party after what he did on January 6th.
Well, I'm amazed to hear that, Ben. And Ben, I'm really, really sorry to hear about your mom.
Yeah, it's, I've been being strong for her and been praying for her every day, but it's just upsets me so much that the hospital of all places where she was trying to get over a staph infection is where she caught this damn virus.
And again, what it comes down to, it was probably Omicron. Because you said your mom was, she was double jabbed. She was just didn't have her booster yet, right?
No, because she just got her first, she got her first shot last October and she got her second one in November. And the strange thing about it too is once she got her first shot, she got her flu shot at the same time. And then when she got her second shot, she got her pneumonia shot. And right after she got her pneumonia shot is when she came down with pneumonia.
Like I said, I get pissed when I hear stories like this. If people had done the right thing, your mom would not have gotten COVID because we wouldn't be in this Omicron shit.
Nope. And
it makes me so and I'm very sorry to hear about mom. I'm going to shut up because I'm going to say something that's not nice.
If she survives, she'll be 69 this year. That's not long enough, you know. My great grandmother passed away when she was 93. So,
I thought 2022 was supposed to be better than 2021.
So I thought too.
Jesus Christ,
Steve, honey, it's 2022.
Oh, okay. I mean, as 2021 flipped us all the bird by taking Betty White, and then, good God, it's been Sidney Poitier, it's been Louis Anderson, it's been, you know, Meatloaf, okay. And then Ben's mom,
And my mom even told my stepfather to tell them that if it gets down to the point to where they have to put her on a ventilator, don't put her on one because she knows once she gets put on one, she's never going to come off of it, and it's chances are she won't survive. Right now, she's just on a BiPAP.
Well, Ben, as everybody else said, we're very, very sorry to hear this. And just,
you know. I think right now, the way I feel right now, I just want to go down to Mar-a-Lago and I just want to strangle that orange asshole.
Ben, I understand how, and I'm not trying to muzzle you, but it's best not to say that kind of thing out loud. And that's not a chastisement. I just don't want you to get more grief on top of the grief you already have.
Yeah. Just so pissed off at Trump right now because this is all his fault. If he would have just handled this pandemic the proper way, we wouldn't be here right now.
It's the absolute truth. I mean, that's why I call him COVID Caligula.
Expecting any Trump to do the right thing is folly.
Good word.
I wish I could go back in time. I wish I was Dr. Emmett Brown right now. I could go back in time with the DeLorean to the moment that Trump was conceived and pull his father off his mother before it happened so that way he wasn't even fucking born.
Well, you know, this is kind of the opposite. You know, Nitwit Nero is the opposite of George Bailey.
Yeah.
In terms of Yeah, It's a Wonderful Life, and we're in we're in Pottersville. And had he never been born, we might be in Bedford Falls.
Yeah.
And if he'd never been born, we wouldn't have Ivanica, Don Jr., and Eric.
Nope. I'm not sure. Those aren't those. Those are the children of Satan, so I'm not quite sure.
I am very happy, though, that the Supreme Court decided 8-1 that no, that the committee can see the documents and Trump cannot block it no more.
Yep, even a blind hog finds an acorn now and then.
So I think it's a matter of time now before that orange asshole is going to have the cuffs slapped on him and he's going to be dragged into court. Or dragged in front of the committee.
Well, on that vein, we know about it's the seven states. We know his attorney coordinated the false electors. We know that he was trying to get Pence to accept the false electors or at least throw out the states that had the two electors. Two slates of electors.
Yep.
That is known. Now, we know that the false electors was fraud when they did it. We know his attorney did it. We know he was telling Pence how to deal with the fact of the second slate of electors. What the fuck is taking the Department of Justice so long to not throw the conspiracy charges to Trump and Giuliani and anybody else that was in that, quote, inner circle, and throw fraud charges on all those electors that sent fraudulent documents to the National Archives? To me, that's a slam dunk. Hold them and then finish gathering the evidence to present at trial. But I cannot believe that with what Rachel Maddow has come out with on MSNBC, that they don't have sufficient evidence to charge. Tell me where I'm wrong.
Hello?
Yeah, and you know...
Yeah, I hear you, Todd.
I wonder what else the committee is going to have to come out with to get him.
Well, it's not up to the committee to get him because the committee can't make the charge. It's the Department of Justice that has to make the charge.
But they can recommend.
They can recommend.
Maybe that's what the Justice Department is waiting for. They're waiting in line to get the baton handed to them. That's my theory.
Jesus Christ, I've waited in line all my life to have a date with Raquel Welch, but that never happened either.
Oh, wait a minute.
Why is this waiting in line bullshit? When you got a slam dunk case, go for it.
Yeah. But this is the former guy. If you want to cut this guy's head off, you better be accurate. You get one shot.
Georgia has one shot. Maine has one shot. Wisconsin has one shot. You've got one shot on inciting violence at the Capitol. You've got one shot for fraud. You've got all kinds of. New York's got two or three shots at him. How come nobody wants to be the first one to file the fucking charges?
Can I offer an answer?
Go, Todd.
Well, as most of us understand, that former president has a very large and influential following. And when the sideline prosecutions, you know, from New York State, that's serious, but that's not like what we're talking about with the capper. The case is too large. In other words, we understand they have the evidence. For example, it's clear, you know, like on Morning Joe, they finally got around to saying the obvious. He was pandering for votes. He's on tape pandering for votes, asking for votes. The intention is there. It looks like it checks all the boxes for a prosecution. But what will happen when the trumpeteers, the maggots, when that happens, they're going to go crazy. And Merrick Garland is a, you know, he's very middle of the road. He's weighing all these things. And look at the Supreme Court we have. You know, it's not as simple as it looks.
Todd, he's federal society bred. That sucks.
Well, that's even worse then.
Uh-huh.
He's a federalist light. I mean, that's the whole reason. Let me slow down. Remember, Barack chose him because he was supposed to be less offensive, the least offensive Supreme Court justice he could nominate as a scared of his own shadow black guy.
Garland was supposed to be 100-0 confirmation pick. That was, and he was told that by, help me out, Robin, who, Grassley?
I think so.
I think Grassley.
No, Orrin Hatch.
Orrin Hatch, that's it. Yes. Hatch said, Obama, if you pick this guy, no problem. Sail through.
Well, I mean, what are the other explanations when we see all that we've seen? It's just too. If you live in the South, you understand what I'm saying. It will absolutely. These people are all ready to pop, you know, pop off anyway. They just need an excuse. I would like to hear other people's kind. I mean, do you think that's far out? I don't think it's far out.
No, it's not.
I live right now.
I certainly don't want to live under a fascist government.
My best friend lives in Hilton Head. He says the same thing.
I mean, let's look at the you know, polls are funny, but what most Republicans believe that the election was rigged or stolen from Trump. That's what they believe.
So we're supposed to sit here hiding in our corner.
I mean, I'm not saying I agree with it at all. I'm just saying that these appear to be the facts.
And Todd, what makes it worse is they believe it because he told them it was stolen, even though he's a verified liar his whole fucking life, and they still believe him.
I believe karma is finally going to come get him.
We may be waiting a while. I think the walls are...
No, I don't think we're going to be waiting very long, Chris.
I hope you're right, man.
I don't think we're going to wait long at all because I think that they have the records. Now they have all the things. They basically found out he cannot be supported as a executive privilege. So I think the pendulums are going to start falling soon.
Did anyone?
He'll be the streaker of Palm Beach.
Yep.
Oh God.
Did anyone see the political story about Trump was trying to have the Defense Department seize the voting machines?
Yep. Yes, been all over the news today.
Yep. That ought to give anybody chills. That is scary.
I say get. But we got out of the military and let's go to war. Get it over with. Tired of fucking with that son of a bitch.
I think they do want to go to war with us. And I think they believe that we're just a bunch of little mamsy pamsies that don't know how to use a gun from a, you know, from a freaking spatula, and they'll sweep the floors with us. And from just a purely numeric standpoint, that as far as number of firearms, there are more of us people than them, but they have the firearms, but there's only so many guns that you can fire at any one time, right? So if you got 20 guns in your cache, you still can only fire one at a time.
Yeah, but you know what, Chris? 90% of Democrats own firearms too, and they're going to find, and if they do start a civil war with us, they're going to find out just how many of us are armed and how many of us are ready to defend this country from foreign enemies and domestic enemies.
I think it's domestic.
I hope we don't have to be there, guys, but, you know, we
Me too, but...
But you know, let's not be ostriches.
Quit making with the negative waves.
Dude. I'll be quite candid. At this point, I'm considerably more concerned with us getting wrapped up in something incredibly stupid in Ukraine.
Yeah. Well, there's that. Yeah, that might be closer on the horizon than the other thing.
And then if that happens, Robin, how much do you think the Republicans might side with Putin?
Oh, hell yeah. Exactly. Yeah, oh yeah. And I honestly wish Joe Biden had, you know, and I don't like to bash him, and this is not bashing. I'm just a person who prefers peace. I'm anti-war, especially anti-somebody fighting somebody else's war. And I wish he had not said that he expects Putin to go ahead and invade.
Yeah. He's not the greatest expectation setter.
Yeah, he did walk it back.
I would like to ask.
His also thing, though, he does know how foreign things work. So I give him the benefit of the doubt on that.
Yeah.
He doesn't. He knows how to play the game. He knows how to play the game with these idiots. So.
My question is this: wouldn't NATO go after Putin before we would?
Ukraine is not a member of NATO.
Oh,
they want to be. They 13-14 years ago they applied, and we've said no, because that would probably be a bridge too far.
Well, you guys know the scary thing about Putin is Putin wants to bring back the USSR.
Yeah. Yeah, I
well, without the yeah, no, I mean he wants to bring
he wants to bring
back a fascist authoritarian totalitarian state. He likes the capitalist money, so not the USSR in the sense of, you know, Marxist Leninist Soviet style communism. But he wants he yearns, and I can understand it. He yearns for the day when this, when Russia was a player. They're just a criminal petrostate now. That's all.
Okay.
Not a whole hell of a lot of petro.
Why is it? Why is it that our news? Listen to a lot of news. They almost always fail to mention the significance of Crimea in terms of the warm water port. That's where their submarine base is.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big deal.
Every once in a while it gets mentioned, but blown past pretty quick is what I notice.
Right. I mean, I think that's kind of the most important part. Now, it's in a distant southern, you know, obviously it's on the water. It's in, you know, it's a seaboard. It's a coast. It's on the coast, but, and it's down in the corner, you know. But, I mean, it could partition that off. That's a tough decision. Like, do we, as a superpower, do we prevent them continuing to have a submarine base? That's a big deal. If you do that, you can't be that friendly because you're preventing them. I mean, that's like telling us to stay out of the Caribbean, you know. But, so... I mean, what's the answer to that? Because I agree with what Robin said. You know, Putin, he wants to go back to the glory days of Russia. That was his prime time. He was in the KGB, and he wants Russia to be strong, and now he's got some money under his belt, and he wants to, you know, keep making money probably and run things. But do we allow them to continue to have a warm water port when they're acting crazy? I don't know.
There's something else that goes with that, Todd. And that is, you have to consider the geography of Ukraine. It's largely flat, and it just sort of begs to have cavalry or tanks roll across it. And you know, the Russians, historically, I mean, I want to be fair. The Russians have reason to worry about that part of their border, because a lot of people have wanted to go rolling across Ukraine, and you know, go and sightsee in Moscow with a few hundred thousand troops. So I mean, it's understandable.
So they want a buffer zone.
I'm sorry, you broke up.
A buffer zone.
Yeah. And so what was said earlier, to offer Ukraine full NATO membership, probably would be a button we don't want to push. But by the same token, Western Europe doesn't want Russia one country closer to their borders, because tanks roll both ways.
They sure do. And Putin's trying to hold us to the agreements that were made under Daddy Bush, right?
To a certain extent, yeah.
We've broken all those, huh?
To a certain extent. I mean, American diplomacy, I don't even think we have a full understanding of just how badly it was broken during the four nightmare years of Nitwit Nero. So,
When was the last time we talked about Iran? That's another festering.
Well,
sore.
But I mean, I don't really see that. It is not to Iran's benefit to get into any bullshit with us. And you know, it's not a peace, but there is what we want to do is continue to punish the innocent people of Iran with economic sanctions, in the idea that maybe at some point they'll rise up and overthrow the mullahs. It's not going to happen. Yeah,
we've been trying that for like 3 decades.
Yeah,
4, 5.
Oh, and I got to send out some thanks since we're at the top of the second, or the end of the second hour. Thank you to our dear friend Christopher with the note, Warnock for Prez, Ossoff VP. Kind of has a ring to it, doesn't it? Thank you, Christopher. So that takes us down to 9:55, and Brian just took us down to 9:30. So we've got $230 remaining on Chris's thank you, Georgia, for sending us Senators Ossoff and Warnock challenge. It'd be great to knock that challenge down. It would be tremendous.
What's scary is if we do end up going to war with Russia, you know what's going to happen. We already know that it's going to go nuclear. That's the scariest thing.
I think that's the reason that neither side wants to go head to head. Instead, you know, Ukraine will be a proxy war. Russia will be there, and then we will, you know, we'll use Ukraine as a proxy for us. You know, it was the other way around with Vietnam. We played this game in Afghanistan. They played this game in Afghanistan. It's basically a return of the Cold War.
Yeah, fucked around in Central America, South America, playing that game too.
Yeah, fucked around. Fucked around. Found out.
I actually honestly think that we have, even though, you know, in the 80s, Reagan supposedly ended the Cold War with Russia because Gorbachev agreed But I think that also we've still been in the Cold War because we've had other countries getting nuclear missiles. Like, look at North Korea. North Korea is, I think they did it yesterday or the day before, they did another missile test.
Yeah, they want attention.
Well, and they want attention. They would like to have some food. They'd like to have some money.
Just imagine what COVID is doing in that country.
Oh. And the other thing is, as Ron and Raleigh just pointed out, what Putin wants, he wants a sphere of influence. He wants to have his own Monroe Doctrine. Russia could not afford to support satellite states. And that's true. And I think there's probably some thinking on this end that says that they can't afford a Cold War. And if they do something in Ukraine and Europe acts cohesively alongside the United States, the sanctions would be crippling. But the thing is, they do, yeah. You know, they've got their natural gas supply, which is effectively endless, and they can use that as leverage against countries like Germany, which are reliant on it.
Very true. In my city of Milwaukee, Oregon, there is going to be a ballot measure to ban all building of new construction of I think it's business and residential units of having natural gas piped into the premises. They want people on green energy. How about that?
Well, yeah, that's fine.
There are places in California that are pushing that too.
Mm-hmm. Might be the only way we actually get there.
And apparently, induction stoves are damn near as convenient and controllable as gas. That's what I've heard. I mean, I like gas for when you turn the burner off, it's off. Whereas an electric stove, you got to move the saucepan off. But I understand induction stoves, that once you turn the burner off, it cuts the heat, and the only heat's left in the pan. So maybe it's helped the induction stove market when they get rid of the gas. And I've had both, and I much prefer gas stoves. But, yes, I'm putting out carbon monoxide into my house.
Yeah.
Go with your gas. It's hard to beat a gas. So.
Yeah, I get it, but it might be the only way, Todd, to get off the fossil fuels, to get off the crack pipe.
Stop. Well, see, we were talking about what a shithead Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is. There was a time. I'm sorry. There was a time when he was hustling, and others were too, frack gas as a bridge fuel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was how we were going to bridge from coal-fired, dirty, oil-fired energy to clean, green, renewable energy. And, of course, that was a complete and utter fraud.
Yeah, Robin, didn't you say he went down there?
See Boone Pickens?
I'm sorry, Sparky, what?
Was he tied up with C. Boone Pickens?
T. Boone Pickens.
No, I don't think so. This was mainly the Natural Resources Defense Council, I think, and Sierra Club under Carl Pope. Because Sierra Club took a shitload of money to say precisely that, that gas is a bridge fuel, and that gas is cleaner than coal. You know, and gas is cleaner than coal. But that's a comparative and not a superlative.
Right. And didn't you say, Robin, that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Went down there to West Virginia for his movie?
Oh, yeah, he came down here and rode our little hillbilly backs for all they were worth. Had a few affairs.
and then, you know, said, we're going to try to get some wind turbines put on Cold River Mountain. I mean, it's right there in the movie. And then as soon as the movie was out, he was never heard from again.
It's like the guy with the monorail in The Simpsons, right? That's a...
Yeah, I mean, we
hey,
tried
Robin.
To... Yeah.
Have you guys ever seen that documentary on HBO? It's called Gasland.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Yeah, definitely.
Josh Fox?
Yeah, he's coming out with a part three.
Oh, part three? Okay.
And it's during the Trump era.
Oh, hey, good news. We are down to 170 to go on Chris's challenge. And that's thanks to Kevin and Tracy. Thank you both so much. That's so helpful. 170 to go to double your money, $170 worth of doubling money remaining out there as we move through this third hour of the program. Tom in sunny San Rafael says, why no charges against Trump yet? Going back to that previous discussion. One word, fear. You know, maggots with guns. Tom adds, induction stove. We got one a year ago. It's better than gas in all ways. Faster heat, faster cool down, boils a quart of water in two-thirds the time of gas. And they are. They're
wonderful. How does that work?
Obviously, it's electric, but it's a magnet, and so you have to cook in things that are magnetic, or else you set your non-magnetic vessel on top of a disc that sits on the induction burner. And, well, for instance, like last June, when I did those that pickled Kaneka, Todd, I canned them in a water bath canner on an induction burner, and the water got up to temp a lot, and that's a lot of water in a water bath canner. Roger knows.
You ought to go to a steam canner. But anyhow, getting back to this induction, I'm going to make a little bit of a comparison here that's not 100% accurate. It's something like microwaves using a magnetic... instead of using microwaves, it's an electromagnetic force that gets the molecules of the magnetic material vibrating against each other that creates the heat in the saucepan. So as soon as you take the saucepan off that burner and give it just enough time for the residual heat to go, you can put your hand on it and not get burned, because it's, or you turn the burner on and there's nothing on it, you can put your hand on it and it stays cold. So it's using, in essence, it's sort of like a transformer where you can put 110 volts in and get 560 volts out if it's wound right. And what it's doing is it's running the electrons through the magnetic coil, which then gets the saucepan to heat up the saucepan itself heats up. It's not the burner. And so it's kind of like magnetism, and it's kind of like in the induction of a transformer. I can see where things would be really, really great. And I sort of wish we'd tried one. And if I ever put a real stove in the mother-in-law unit here, I will probably put in an induction stove just to have the experience of using one. I've never used one, but I'd like to give it a try. But I don't have gazillions of money to play with the stoves back and forth and back and forth.
So is it similar in a way, like a cousin to or related to these wireless charging pads you can put your phone on and just set it on the right way, and it completes the circuit and it will charge your phone wirelessly because it's magnet. You know, I'm just curious if it's similar to that. Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
I have no idea what the tech... I don't have any knowledge of what the induction charging of cell phones are. but I would kind of compare it to a microwave in that the microwaves get the water molecules in the food to vibrate against each other, or fat molecules, to create the heat. But you're actually not putting heat in. The heat is generated in the food when you put it in the microwave. In an induction stove,
concerned about. Right.
The heat is generated in the metal of the saucepan. So you put an aluminum pan on a induction stovetop, it won't do squat.
Yeah, you're going nowhere unless you've got one of those adapter discs.
Well, but you see, that plate that you put on the bottom is the metal plate, and you're actually heating that plate. And when you turn the induction stove off and put your hand on that plate, you're going to come back with a burnt hand.
True.
Because the plate got hot, and so you're transferring the heat. Whereas just from the – you put some food in the microwave oven, and you take the food out and put your hand on the glass platter that rotates at the bottom of the microwave – it's only as hot as the food was that you had put in. So if you put it in on a ceramic plate and you heat your food up, you pull the ceramic plate out, the ceramic plate's not hot, and the glass plate that it sat on isn't hot, but the food is.
See, I can see where that would have solved the delicate intricacies of the palate, the taste, because it's like a microwave can mess. I mean, it's good to heat water up. If you want something hot really fast, it's not gourmet quality. Like you don't want to be microwaving really good food because
I only use the idea of the microwave to try to explain the way the heat gets transferred.
Todd, I have it.
The induction.
Go ahead, Roger. I'm sorry.
I'll quit. In the induction oven, the saucepan heats up that you're cooking the food in. In a microwave oven, the food heats up. It turns the saucepan into the heating element. And in the microwave oven, it turns the food into the heating element. And that's the only connection between microwave and induction. It's not heating. It's heating it differently in the rest of it. And a lot of people are afraid of microwave ovens because it's radio waves, da-da-da-da-da. That is not the case. There's not a magnetron there putting out X-rays heating up the saucepan. It's a induction, which is how transformer.
Yeah, and by the way, Tom and Sonny San Rafael says it's just like a wireless charger, but a whole lot more power.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, and just from a real world perspective, Todd, I have an iron skillet, and it's a grill bottom skillet. It's got grill ridges, and it heats. One of the nice things is it heats really evenly, and you can grill a steak with that induction burner to absolute perfection, because the burner's not just one speed. It goes up, and you can set it. You can set the heat level, just like you can with a regular stove burner, gas or electric. But no, that it's absolutely delicious to do a steak that way. And I have more thank yous to send out. Thank you so kindly to John. Thank you, John, and thanks as well to our dear sister Jude. We are now down to 140 to go. On Chris's thank you Georgia for sending us Ossoff and Warnock. And by the way, John in Central PA points out a salient fact, namely that Ossoff and Warnock could not run on the same ticket unless one of them moves out of state for constitutional reasons, and that's true. Meanwhile, interesting observation from our pal, unbillable Rick. Back to Russia. Do not forget the Ukraine was Russia's breadbasket. Putin is asking for something the U.S. can't give him, and that is that Ukraine will never join NATO, and Putin knows that.
This is just to buy time until a hard freeze, so he won't get bogged down in the mud if he decides to go for it. I spent 6 years in Germany, three of them on the east-west German border. If Putin goes into Ukraine, I don't believe he'll stop. He'll try to take the Balkans, too. At which point, we are reminded of the words of, I think it was Otto von Bismarck, who said the whole of the Balkans is not worth the blood of one, the bones of one, what was it, Pomeranian grenadier. And how right he was and how wrong he turned out to be. Brendan, by the way, with regard to Russia, said, I think it's also important to take into account the fact that Russia suffered the loss of 26 million people and the destruction of seemingly countless hamlets, villages, and cities. We don't hear much about the present and growing power of the Ukrainian Nazis. I would think that even though Putin shares more in common with the Nazis in practice and purpose, you have to take into account the power of the various local nationalisms and the history and practices of these often fanatical beliefs in actual practice. We need real diplomats now more than ever. And Brendan's talking about, of course, Russia's losses during the Second World War.
Well, look at what Jackass did. He hobbled us. My God. He eviscerated our State Department, all the
federal... Pompeo, right, Todd?
Hey,
yeah,
he graduated first in his class at West Point. Do you know that?
Yeah, I mean, it's a laughing stock. I mean, he tore the State Department apart down to the studs.
Well, and that's that. I mean, that was not an accident. There, you know, it's been a Republican fetish object long before Nitwit Nero to basically wipe out Foggy Bottom root and branch.
Mm-hmm.
It's who they are. It's like attacking the Department of Education. They've been doing that long before Nitwit Nero, and that's why I keep cautioning that we have to be careful in what we attribute to Nitwit Nero versus what is just modern republicanism. Because, you know, that racist horseshit did not come into vogue with Trump. He just made it a little more okay to be out and proud about it. It's been part of their DNA since Nixon's Southern strategy in 1968, and certainly he made it
so the maggots wouldn't mind spreading their shit balls on their crackers.
Right, and you know, it's also certainly been the case since old 666 himself, Ronald Wilson Reagan, went down to Neshoba County, Mississippi, and gave his states' rights speech. It's who they are.
It's actually been since LBJ finished Kennedy's civil rights package.
Yeah, and that's when he said we've lost the South for a generation. Well, he was wrong. Lost the South for three, four, five, six.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, what happened there is that they did the racism, and now they've continued it with the anti-union, and they've wrapped it up in this incredible package with some of the Ayn Rand and Ron Paul bullshit. And they've got a package that's so tight now that encompasses so many people with the stars and bars as well as all kinds of other shit.
Don't forget the fetuses.
Yeah, the fetuses are in there too. And these ignorant motherfuckers, whichever one of those off the edge numbers, they're willing to put up with the other ones because of their one issue number.
Mm-hmm.
The fetus fetishes people, even if they're not, or they claim not to be racist, they'll put up with the racism because of their anti-abortion. And the real racists will put up with the anti-abortion even though they've had their girlfriend get two or three, because each one of those is such a hook in them that they're unable to see the others as being terribly bad and are willing to accept the entire package.
That makes a lot of sense, Roger. Do you guys, Robin? So yesterday, Robin had the whole Senate speeches ongoing. Did any of you guys' blood boil as much as mine when you heard the fetus fetish senators get up there?
No, I wanted to put my fist through the screen.
Huh? What's that?
I wanted to put my fist through the screen.
Yeah, the co-opting of the word science might be one of the most petrifying things about this whole fascist movement. That, you know, the wordsmithing, the big brotherizing of that word science is absolutely petrifying. Pretty soon it's going to be, if you don't believe in Jesus, then you can't be a scientist. It's petrifying.
I fail to understand how somebody can be a scientist and say they believe in Jesus.
I know.
I'm fucked,
then. Well, hold up. So you're saying that somebody like me, I'm not a scientist, but I believe in science, so that means I can't believe in Jesus? Come at me with that. Why?
No,
that's not what I said, Tracy.
Hold up, no.
You said, I don't understand how somebody that's a scientist can believe in Jesus. Now, I'm not a scientist. I believe in science. I believe in Jesus. So what did? So how did I misunderstand what you're saying? Because if you're about to mansplain me, I'm about to get really pissed.
No, I'm not mansplaining, Tracy. I'd never do that to you. I still want to have lunch with you one of these days when you come up and visit Chris. Anyhow,
okay.
I'm talking about a person who is a scientist who is dealing with the RNA, the DNA, etc. And doing the science. I cannot understand how somebody that is actually doing the science.
I know people who are scientists. Okay, let me just go back then. I know people who are scientists. I know because they're my biology teachers and all these other things. PhDs. They believe in Jesus. So
good for them.
Yeah, here. I think.
I think I can clear
this up.
I live in Alabama. I know.
Hey, Gary. I saw Gary where you said you referred to it as Alabamistan. We renamed it Talibama some years back. You know, Taliban, Alabama. It just works. But here's how it works. A scientist can believe in Jesus or Muhammad or Krishna,
Buddha,
or the Buddha.
Vishnu.
Yeah. And a good scientist will know that what they are doing is believing. There's a reason I always say that believe is the most dangerous word in the English language. Because improperly handled, it can work real mischief. But a scientist, at least most of them that I've ever seen, I can't make a blanket statement, is not going to try to offer an intellectual proof of the existence of a deity. On the other hand, the science that a scientist does is entirely intellect and reason and experimentation, scientific method is method based.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where the trouble comes in. No one scientists don't believe in science. I don't believe in science. Science does not care what we believe. It either is or it isn't, and it either withstands the rigors of intellectual inquiry, or it does not. And if it does not,
repeatable processes,
right? Exactly. And if it doesn't withstand that rigor, it isn't science. You know, there's an old line about
You know what they call alternative medicine that actually works? Medicine. And
yeah.
You need to explain that to the maggots that keep saying that Fauci can't make his mind up.
And they're right there.
What the scientific method is.
Yeah, well, you can't.
Fauci people than in church.
You can't explain why rain happens to a maggot. Okay. But
see, I never heard the fetus fetishes bring up the word science so much that I have just in the last year or so, and they talk about the heartbeat pill and
yeah, but that's bullshit science.
Pump itself. Yeah.
That's bullshit. But, I think it was Stephen New York who explained one evening how that heartbeat business how it is actually a gigantic fraud. There is no heartbeat.
Was not no I. Was not Wait. I.
Oh, was not you? Okay.
No, but I know what you're talking about. It's basically an echo. It's an echo of the electric pulses of what will eventually be a heartbeat.
Yeah, yeah.
Something along those lines.
And so, you know, when a right-winger starts citing science, you can go to the bank on the idea that they're lying. It's bullshit. It's like the right wingers who say that there's no that climate change might be real, but it's all caused by sunspots.
Yeah, that.
The only thing what upsets me and infuriates me about you some liberals and the ones that don't believe, and you know what, you don't have to believe in Jesus and stuff like that, but don't denigrate and make people like me feel like fools for having faith. Like, that's how it sounds. And maybe you don't intend on it sounding like that. But, you know, I'm not one of those, you know, the war on Christmas Christians or anything like that. No. That is not my thing. But a lot of people who are, you know, faith-based people, they have these, that's why they have issues with liberals. Because we sound like a bunch of arrogant assholes.
Yeah, Tracy, I get your point, and I think I've said it here before. My aunt and uncle have gone diligently along their lives, quietly doing the good work that Jesus espoused in Matthew 25, and they're quiet about it. They don't proselytize. They don't try to get up on a fucking mountain. They've never tried to pull me or my sister aside and say, "Yeah, you know, you're gonna go to hell, right?" No, they've never done that. They go about their work like true Christians. And
exactly.
I've fought that. Huh?
My faith has gotten me through so much. Hell, it got me through jail. It got me through my life being threatened. It got me through domestic violence. It got me through being homeless. It got me through. But then again, like I said, I don't be throwing Jesus up in people's faces. That ain't me, and that's a whole
bunch
of Christians I know.
But right, Tracy, and I mean, I get it. I get it so thoroughly. I mean, there would not have been Dr. King could not have been Dr. King if he had been an atheist or an agnostic.
I was just going to say that,
Reverend Warnock.
Mm-hmm.
That part.
I could listen to him all day.
That man brought fire.
He did.
Using sound Christian principles, it's like y'all. Basically, he said, "Y'all, I can't cuss, but y'all who say y'all are Christians, but you know what? The entire, you know, finish the last word.
Heck,
you know, because it's like, come on,
fornicate.
And so it's like, yeah, made a camp up. You know, made a camp. Where is it? And it's like, it just really annoys, and I usually don't say anything. Every so often, I just, you know, and it's like, and you got, everybody's entitled to their how they feel about religion and everything like that. But when you say, well, I just don't understand how anybody who claims to be a scientist or what have you can believe in Jesus. It's about faith. It's about
faith and empirical knowledge are entirely different things. A very well-known.
Why are we spending money? Why are we spending money to put the James Webb Telescope up to do basic science if at some point it took 7 days to create the universe?
Well,
are putting up that Webb Telescope are not believers in the seven-day theory.
No, and in fact,
that is kind of where I am going with that.
Well, you know what?
Okay. We're kind of in my wheelhouse right now. First of all, young Earth creationism has been denounced by none other than the Vatican as a heresy. And while most of clawing, scraping, struggling, suffering American humanity may very well believe in that, they believe in it the way that you do Santa Claus for your kids, okay? Because at the and it's all just cognitive dissonance. This would have been a lot easier to say before the pandemic, but Jerry Falwell believed Muslims are evil, and he believed in the healing power of Jesus. But by God, when his corpulent old body began to go sideways, his ass was in a hospital in D.C. being worked on by a Muslim surgeon. Okay? It's something I've said for years. You don't believe in evolution because it violates your Southern Baptist faith. Don't ever, ever, ever get a flu shot. I kind of wish now I'd never said that, because it's kind of come true.
Hey, Robin?
Yeah.
Along the lines that you just talked about, and this is contrast a Jerry Falwell with Reverend Warnock. Here's what I mean when I say that. Whereas Jerry Falwell mentioned the Ava Muslims, if you recall the other night, when the good Reverend gave his speech, he mentioned, I think it's Rabbi Heschel, who was very much in the civil rights movement, and he talked about Reverend Heschel gallivanting with King in heaven. Now, that is a huge difference between the type of actual Christian that Reverend Warnock is, and whatever that, that corpulent whatever Falwell was, because Falwell would never have said something like
that. Consider this: both Reverend Warnock and Jerry Falwell were Baptists.
Yeah, but
there could not be more distance between the Ebenezer Baptist Church and the Southern Baptist Church. Because
are they American Baptists or
Nashville? No, they're just Tracy, help me. Is there an African Baptist? I mean, I know there's. Yes. I know about AME, but the thing is, it's two different approaches. A Southern Baptist.
They would be missionary Baptist, Robin.
Are they missionary? Okay.
Ah.
Yes.
That would be. But the point being. The book of James says faith without works is dead. The Southern Baptists will tell you all you need is faith. I was baptized in the Southern Baptist Church, and I was told once saved, always saved. I presume that followed along during my transition. But if you're once saved, always saved, your obligation to do good things, to build the kingdom of God on earth, is significantly diminished, so that back in 2002, when we were getting ready to attack the innocent people of Iraq, George W. Bush's actual church, of which he was a member, the United Methodist Church, said, "Don't do it. It's morally wrong. It's evil. It's a sin." But the Southern Baptist said, "No, what? Peter had a sword, and he used it." And of course, they never get around to what happens after that when Jesus says, "Put up thy sword into his place, for him that he that liveth by the sword shall die by the sword." They never get around to that. But that's
kind of
fun,
like the Second Amendment, Robin.
You know, the civil rights movement was a Christian movement. It was motivated by tenets of Christian faith. But they are beliefs in the unseen. They are beliefs in what can be instead. You know, it's like what that jackass Robert F. Kennedy's daddy once said: "Some people see things as they are and ask why. I see things, what is it? And I see things as they could be and ask why not." And you know, you can spot somebody who lives their faith from a mile away. I personally don't. I don't do the faith thing.
Rob.
Yeah, Todd.
You started talking about swords, and I, you know, you're on. I'm just no. You evoked the Crusades inside of me when you started talking about swords and these people's their beliefs and like my way. Is that it? That's it. You know, I'm feeling like this is the new Crusades. You know, they have no tolerance for Islam. Like, they don't have no history. King Frederick? Was it Frederick? German ruler that was having all this
Frederick the Great.
We had Charlemagne. Yeah, you go back to Charlemagne. Is that Donnie? Donnie's our new Charlemagne?
Well, I'm just saying, this is like these folks, it's like there's no room for anything else. If you're not in their camp, you're the enemy. They don't have any tolerance, but that
your head has to be chopped off.
Around tolerance.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Head loppers.
Like the new Crusades. I'm sorry?
Head loppers.
Hey, that reminds me, Robin. Hey, can we get a new update? We haven't had one in a really long time on Dole Pineapple's latest mascot. Can
well,
you give
see,
us an update?
Chris, I'd be happy to. It turns out the supply chain issues in hell have been remedied. Because the devil is the prince of this earth, and so the eternal infinite delivery of pineapples has begun, has returned, and in fact they've got a glut. So Rush Limbaugh is getting twice as many pineapples per day now as he was before the supply chain issues happened.
Thank you for the update. Good to know that they're playing catch up.
Yeah, and you know, they make him every time it's pineapple time, they say that tagline, Rush, and he says, "With talent on loan from God," and the devil stands there and goes, "Ha ha 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 ha! Margin call."
That's a good one.
Thank you.
By the way,
yes.
I want to say you do the best Trump impression I've ever heard.
Yes, it is by far the best.
Bless your heart. I think it's just terribly cheesy.
No, it's so good.
You actually sound just like him, which was scary.
Well, that's only fair because only after my transition did I start getting a little bit of a break from Facebook's algorithms. You know, I went years with Facebook tagging me every time somebody put up a picture of Trump. "Robin, is this you?" Or, "Bob, is this you?" No. But now the algorithms have moved in a different direction, and they're trying to sell me Saudi beekeeper suits for women. I'm not sure which was worse.
Yeah, how's that Zuckerberg burka? Is it in the mail?
The Zuckerberg. I ordered one in every color. But I think we're going to have to let the hem out a little bit because I'm a little too tall for them. Oh. I mean, you really, you know, in Saudi Arabia, when you can see a little bit of ankle sticking out from under your beekeeper suit, you really are a suspiciously large woman.
So you ordered every color, what, like light black, dark black?
Yes, black.
Black, black. Not so black, black. Yeah.
Off black, matte black.
Off black. Oh, God.
You can have any color you want as long as it's black. Now, this one was kind of like a brownish plum, and I was like, really? They're really making strides. And please, as we got about 20 minutes left in the program.
That wasn't a burqa. That was an Aunt Lydia suit.
It's actually not a burqa. It's an abaya.
Amy COVID Barrett would look great in that.
I'm sure they cosplay it all the time at the COVID Barrett household. We've got about 19 minutes left in the program. We got $130 to go on Chris's challenge. It would be lovely, lovely, wonderful. Take a great load of stress off my mind if I could pay a couple of bills and get it knocked down a bit and meet that challenge.
Did you not see my donation earlier?
Yes, I did. I did. Thank you.
Yep. Welcome. That's,
thank so you very much.
Put you down at 125.
No, I added that in. That's what got us down to 130. Okay. Yeah.
Okay,
I mean, the bills. And
it's coming. It's coming.
I hope so, because even once we meet Chris's challenge, we will still have $420 to go to finish the week.
Look what it was like last month.
Yeah.
Look at the hill. I mean, that to me is a testament to the hard work that you do and that people appreciate it. Because that, I mean, my God, the hole that you were in, the hole we were in, the hole that we were in, that was insane.
Yeah, and I mean, like I said there, it's worse now because of the electricity consumption going on here, because I can't find any freaking propane.
You can't find a propane bottle?
No. Because I got multiple heaters.
That's crazy.
But yeah, it's so cold, everybody's buying them up and using them. But there's a couple of things that I need to do. I really am planning on running for office and filing fees $200. But that's on top of the regular bills. I got to do a legal thing for a name change, another $200. Finally, bring my name in line with everything else. Change that I to a Y, that kind of thing. So that's on top of what the ordinary and typical are. So the more we can knock it down, the better off we'll be. So 100, if there are 13 people with $10 or 10 people with $13, whatever, then that'll meet Chris's challenge, and then we can work on the other, oddly enough, 420. Maybe that's a motivation.
Well, I got a little bitter mixed with the sweet.
Yes.
So, like I told you earlier, so you guys know I went to Vegas and stuff like that and spent time with my sister for her birthday. And my mom subsequently went to Oregon to spend time with my sister. Well, my mom called me this morning to tell me that my sister and her Trumper husband both tested positive for COVID. Now, I'm not worried about the time in Vegas because because I believe in research, you know, even though I'm a Christian, Roger.
Shots fired.
Research about
you did your research, Tracy? You visited your Facebook page, right?
Yes. And I went to Reddit and all that. The CDC, you know, and looked about what if you think you've been exposed to COVID. So apparently I'm within the past the 10-day mark from when I was in Vegas because I got the last time I saw my sister and her husband was the 9th of January. So I'm past the 10-day mark with that. As far as my mom is concerned, it's still within the 5-day, but I went and got a test, and then I thought about it, and I went ahead, because I have to work. I can't afford to stay home and all that. So I went and got the test. It was free, and then I went and got a rapid test, and I'm fine.
What about your mom?
COVID. I don't see the problem is my mom's in North Carolina, and right, you guys, if you know what the weather is like, she's not driving in that mess. And because she lives in North Carolina, because if she lived in a real state, I don't know, like California, they would have to, you know, we actually have people that go and you know, test people, older people, and all that, you know, to see if they have COVID, so they don't have to leave their homes. But she lives in North Carolina, and I don't even think they have
that. Yeah, you got to have bootstraps. You got to have your bootstraps in North Carolina.
So she did make an appointment for her and her husband on Monday. And so, you know, I understand how people are feeling right now, because I am just, I am beside myself with this whole thing with the COVID. Like, you know, my aunt, who was in the hospital with COVID pneumonia.
How is she?
The hospital. Well, she's out of the hospital, but she still refuses to get vaccinated.
Oh, God.
Oh, no, I'm sure she thinks she's immune now.
Right.
She got the natural immunity.
She got that, you know, she got the natural immunity. And I'm like, this, you know.
Just,
you know,
like downhole religion. Yeah.
And so I'm just, I am exhausted, but I just, you know, if one more person says, well, I don't know what's in that vaccine, I said, motherfucker, do you know what's in the MMR? Do you know what was in the polio vaccination? And like one of my cousins said, and it, I mean, this was, like I told Robin, this is restaurant quality. She said, I do not know what are in the 11 herbs and spices in KFC, but I still eat it. You know?
The Cheez-Its that you jam down your throat. How many, what's in that? God fucking knows what's in there. But they taste good.
That's her point. She's like, I don't know what's in the shampoo, you know, that I use. I don't know what's in the, you know, there's all this stuff that we consume on a regular basis. And nobody calls into question, Jesus, I wonder what's in that. They don't. They just use it.
I don't take a sample, like, right in front of my face. I don't take a sample of the air and measure all the molecules in that air before I breathe it.
Nope.
I don't have time.
It's like, like I said, I'm fine. Jan is going to take a test, you know. Now that I tested negative, she's thinking about taking. I told, because I said, hell, we survived 8 days down south, you know, in Mississippi and Louisiana, and we live to tell about it. And you know why? Because not only were we vaccinated, we got a booster as well. Because I said I was not going down south without getting my booster. Nope. What's going to do it? Not going to do it. Ain't going to do it. No way. No how. Nuh-uh. But it's just, and on a selfish note, because of people who are not getting vaccinated, you know, I graduate from college in May.
Yay.
Finally. Four decades to get my degree. And I'm going to graduate with honors more than likely. I want to walk across the damn stage, y'all. I don't want a virtual graduation.
Yeah, you don't want to be on some Zoom call here in Gaudiama, Shigatour.
I've worked too long and too hard to finally make it to this point. I don't want a drive-by graduation. I want to walk across that stage and hear my name being called. And because of
you want that Kodak moment.
Yes, if we still have Kodak. You know, I want that. But because of people's just out and out selfishness, just straight up stupidity. Let's just call it for what it is. And like you said, at what point do our rights matter? At what point is it our, you know, that it's our right that if, you know, Emmett get vaccinated? Because like when you said, Robin, we will never, ever, 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 you know, achieve herd immunity if motherfuckers don't get vaccinated.
Tracy, and we're libtards. Our rights never matter.
I had that story earlier where the one scientist said, we cannot get this thing under control until we get north of 92% vaccinated.
92.
That's one way of saying we are never going to get this under control.
We're never going to get this under control.
Because we have mean, selfish, rotten people.
We're not killing them fast enough.
Hey, Robin, what was the name of that, the Czech person that tried to, the mother who tried deliberately to catch the COVID?
Hanka Horka.
Hanna Horka?
Hanka Horka.
Hanka Horka.
Somewhere off in a very far land, Elvis Presley is singing Horka Horka Burnin' COVID.
You know, I'm going to give you this just for the effort, Christopher. That was a gnur. Okay, that really was. That was a gnur. But I'm in a giving mood. And by the way, thank you to Colin, and thank you to Frank. We are down to $70 to go on Chris's challenge. $70.
Oh. Chris, I just forgot. I thought about you yesterday. I dropped. I was driving down Sepulveda on my way back to the airport, and I drove past. You stayed at the Hampton Inn, yes?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, hey. I wanted to put up the. I left the plaque at home that Chris left here, so I could put it. But I left it at home, and it was late at night.
Next
and I'm
time.
Like, black women. Possibly people think it's defacing public, private property in the South Bay. I thought better of it. You know, I said,
Yeah, and they'd figure out a way. They'd figure out a way they'd figure out a way to get past that no cash bail business, you know.
Right. I'm at my breaking point. I'm not at my breaking point. Because if I break, then who's gonna keep, who's gonna, have a, start screaming at people like, my brethren here about, we can have faith and still be, care about science, trust and believe, but it's just, I can't break down. I'm just saying that I am the black female, the black female queer voice of the horn, and because I speak for everybody.
You speak for all. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I gotta share something with you. I just saw this. Our buddy Dr. John out in New Mexico sent this along. You will appreciate this. Oh my God, I had the mic muted while I was reading it because I was not okay. John sent this along and said, "A journey in two images." the first one. John's got a Weber grill. Well, those old Weber kettle grills are just awesome. I mean, they are perfection of their form. And he does fabulous things with it. And the email reads, "Dear John, this morning you received our weekly recipe of the week email, which is sent to you every Friday. In today's email, we highlighted a grilled meatloaf recipe. At the time we shared this recipe with you, we were not aware of the unfortunate passing of American singer and actor Mr. Marvin Lee Adday, also known as Meatloaf.
Oops.
We want to express our deepest apologies for this oversight and for any offense this email may have caused. We send our condolences to Mr. Adday's family and fans. Thank you for understanding. Signed, the Weber family." Grilled meatloaf.
Oh my God.
Well, John, hold on. It's a journey in two passages, because John's bag of fucks to give is utterly empty, and he feels about well. And so to Weber Grills from Dr. John. Please accept our apologies, dear Team Weber. Mr. Adday was reportedly an anti-vaxxer and died of COVID. Are we to interpret your email as an endorsement of his views? Oh, my God, John. Man, that is a sick, as the kids say, that is a sick burn.
Grilling.
Grilled meatloaf.
Oh.
Hey, Steve from Georgistan.
Yo, Steve.
Yes.
Who the hell was that picture of?
What picture? What are you referring to?
That picture you posted in the chat room.
Oh, it's Diane Parkinson's. That was one of Bob Barker's babes. They called him Barker babes back in the day. I thought she was a very attractive woman. Okay. Me and Larry were talking about, he was talking about Vanna White, and I said, yeah, that's how she got brought up, since inquiring minds must know.
Okay.
All right.
Okay,
glad
now.
To be of service.
No.
Inquiring minds.
Yeah, you know, I saw the chat. I saw the, in the chat a little bit ago. You were telling the story of your trip to the podiatrist. I didn't realize when you first told me the story, dude had been dead since November
30th. Yeah, and I last seen him in October, October 20th. He looked okay to me, you know, but it must have come on quick. It took him out fast. I don't know if it was COVID. I can't confirm.
But you had
in this area and the mindset. He was morbidly obese, probably. Deductive logic. Yeah, I was beside myself.
Did Billable go see Meatloaf by chance?
But
I'm sure he did.
But it astonishes me. They didn't even bother to tell you. You had a January appointment. He died in November. And nobody bothered to tell his patients?
It gets even worse, Robin. They didn't turn off the Autobot. I got a confirmation reminder Saturday before the Wednesday. Don't forget your appointment. You know, type back yes if you're coming or not. So
yeah,
I type back. Yeah, I thought everything was set, you know?
That's as clueless or uncaring as the doctor who ignored my mother to death, who sent her a birthday card the year after she died.
Jesus. It gets even worse. The next day, I got a bill from my deductible, or as a co-payment, for the October visit, and I paid it. I had to call the billing department, so I got a copy of the canceled check. You bastard, you done. I ought to be billing you for 4 hours of wasted time.
Yo, Steve.
Ah, but technology is great.
Yes, Todd, what's up, brother?
How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good, man.
Good. You brought the medical bill. I just had to say this really fast. That was a big article. I don't know if it was AARP. It was somewhere credible. And I've noticed from experience, don't ever pay that first medical bill, because it takes so long for them to catch up with all your insurances and everything else.
Have a good weekend.
That it's always wrong, and they double bill. Don't ever pay the first one, because it won't be right most times.
Yeah, I've been told to wait till the second or third one. But, you know, you work hard to keep a good credit score all your life, and you don't want them to ding it, you know. So there's
well,
that.
That's the other side of it.
Yeah.
They will. They'll do that.
Yeah,
you're exactly
I know.
Right. Yep. It's a mess. But it would seem like we could have a more streamlined system. But we just don't.
Todd, have you been noticing all the crazies in Washington Journal? They're coming out of the woodwork, bro.
Funny you ask.
That's the answer of the evening. Funny you would
Biden's
ask.
Press conference. The post coverage of Biden's press conference had me chewing nails. I don't know if you guys realize it or not. Casey Hunt flipped. She went from MSNBC to CNN. And as my dear friend Megan used to always say, she's nothing but Chuck Todd with boobs, which I kind of concur with that.
That's just so bad.
Yeah. And what had happened, Robin, was the next day she's on there with her co-host. Looked like she got a peel, and I'm not gooning on her appearance. It's pragmatic. It's just she got a peel, I guess, because she went to high definition. And she was on a co-host saying the implication was... The implication was post Biden coverage was that Biden is just as bad as Trump, because Biden said the 2022 election is going to be rigged. And no, he didn't. He did not say that. Trump said.
Oh, Chris Saliza was publishing that bilge, too.
Biden said if we don't get this bill passed, there could be, you know, the opportunity for shenanigans, and I'm paraphrasing, but that's all he said. And they're trying to make this false equivalency, and I was throwing my shoes at the goddamn TV. Shit like that just goes right through me. Yeah.
These listeners, that's what I was, I think maybe it was this week or last week. Oh, you know this. It's frightening. Now, I've been listening to Washington Journal, and I've been like a lot with C-SPAN since a teenager when they first started doing that.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was so weird. It was different. But the Washington Journal now, they have leaned. These people call in and they swear that Washington Journal is leaning left. And it's just like, what planet are you on?
Yeah, that was like
just
the douchebag.
You don't agree with the facts. Facts
the
su- and
the
are
son
different.
Of douchebag? Todd, did you hear son of douchebag's question to...
Wait, say that again, please. I didn't hear
the
you.
The son of douchebag? That Ducey character, son of douchebag? Yeah, when he was asking questions to Psaki and said, why is bro Joe Biden trying to bring the country so far left? Right? Yeah, did you
see
that? Oh,
they should have kicked that jackass out. They should have... he wasn't even being credible.
He's
the
star of that fucking show. He owns that place. He's always asking fucking questions.
Todd, I don't know if you've noticed it, but Greta, if there anybody showing their hands, it's Greta. And I'm always thinking to myself, damn, they named her right. Because she's always letting the right-wing loonies ramble on. And then somebody from the left, I don't know if you've noticed this or not, tries to make a salient point, she cuts him off.
You know what? You know what, Steve? I think that is, honestly, I think that honestly, I really, this is just my observation. She had been letting her cards out as being, you know, more toward our camp, you know, and I think somebody's, you know, Brian, somebody, they had meetings.
Called her out,
I've noticed that she has, like you're saying, now she's going overboard the other way because they're getting criticized so much. You know, because I think she could see in her body language. You could definitely see in her body language. She was, you know, and she just smiled. I mean, people can see when she smiles when right wing people say something stupid. She's like, you fucking fool. I can't believe you just said that. And she just smiles like, you know. And you know, who gets the best ratings, I think, is the big black dude on Saturday morning.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Everybody loves him. And he just lets people talk. You know, and he'll figure out who can talk, and he has no blank face, no emotion. Da-da-da-da-da. But I mean, I don't know that. I'm just about back to Greta. You get me excited now because that program is just, oh my God, man.
It takes a lot of stamina and fortuitiveness to stick with that, Todd. I'm telling you, man.
God, when I get to work,
how are we going to cure you guys of that habit?
I don't know.
No,
we don't want them cured. Somebody's got
to. Did you hear that? Yeah.
Somebody's got to take one for the team.
Yeah, we need people over the enemy line, Sparky. Let them keep going. As long as they can keep their sanity somehow.
Did you hear my
Steve? Let me ask you this.
5 o'clock.
Sure,
Steve.
Yes, I did.
So, do you notice this? This is something, a pattern I've noticed since we're on point with this. The projection from the right, we always talk about it, the projection. But when the callers project on Washington Journal, if you just took out Republican and replaced it with Democrat, what they claim that we're doing is exactly what they're engaging in.
Exactly.
Trump did that.
Exactly. And they call the independent lines. They're not independent and they'll cross lines. And they're trying to catch them on this now, Todd. Well, I used to be a Democrat. Now they're hanging up on them, which is a good thing. You know, when they pull that shit, you know.
Yeah.
I used to be a Democrat, but Pedro was hanging up on them left and right, you know, a few days ago for pulling that crap.
Pedro's doing well. He's like 2.5 months out of rehab, so he's doing good. He's doing well.
I was waiting for a Pedro comment.
Yeah, he I could tell he was amped up a few months ago. All the puzzle fits now, man.
You see, look, his skin's glowing. He had his rest, man. Look, it's a good thing they moved that rehab closer to where he works. He can make his morning session. You know,
yeah, he doesn't have that Elvis look anymore either. He's not so puffy. So I think you're on to something.
Where's the cowbell? You know, Robin, man.
I'm here.
See, he missed it. He doesn't understand what we think, right? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, what we put ourselves through. Now, I don't know.
Maggot mania.
If anybody else has caught the post-Biden coverage or not, both channels, MSNBC and CNN, are trying to break their necks to point out that, look, man, we're just as hard on Biden as we were Trump. And there's no equivalency whatsoever. Has anybody else noticed that, or am I seeing things?
No, you're right there.
MSNBC daytime is different than prime time.
Oh, very much so.
Oh yeah.
Listen to Chuck Toad.
Hey, I may have found a solution to our fundraising problems. I was just checking my messages over on my Instagram page, and someone named Jackson Jeff has messaged me. I have not accepted the message. Y'all need to tell me. I opened it up and it was, "Hey, gorgeous. Well, I'm looking for a loyal, sugar, honest baby to spoil weekly allowance just for attention and advice when I need it. Heart emoji. Get back to me if you're interested, hun."
That sounds like the date Spark been on lately.
My ship has come in.
Yeah, you mentioned that.
Milk him like a Nigerian princess. Come on, Robin. Milk him like a giant, like a Nigerian princess.
Let's don't say we didn't.
Well, you know what?
Yeah, there's a lot of imagery there, Roger. Yeah.
Hey, let me tell you something. Back in the day when I was a dominatrix, I cannot tell you.
This is going to be so good.
I wouldn't call it fleecing, but if bad enough how black women are sexualized and fetishized, if I can make a white man beg and all that shit and never even see him and I get paid for it, fuck yeah. I mean, hell, when I lost my job, when I lost my job because of the felony conviction and had to struggle about trying to raise my son, make ends meet with my son, you damn well bet I did. I milked these motherfuckers until they bled. I had no problems with it because it just made me feel good to fuck over a white man. It's just, I don't know. It just felt right.
I
call it reparations.
But see, reparations.
Oh, God. Is that how you declare it on your taxes?
See, I'm just, I don't think
I declare it on your taxes, Tracy? Reparations?
Yeah, reparations.
Yeah. Oh, okay, there's a box there for that. Okay.
Yep, text
Tracy. Tamara just said, "Oh my God, I love Tracy." And see, I'm not far. I don't think I'm far enough in my voice, my speech therapy yet to, like, do phone sex.
Well, I mean, that's the beautiful thing, baby. I didn't know. Remember, I'm the dom. I can do whatever the fuck and say whatever the fuck I want to. Days was my bitches. So.
Whoa.
Rob, give me Robert. Oh shit! Yeah,
that's for days. That's for days. Was my bitches.
Days was my bitches.
Good.
But they were paying for the Negress of experience. So I have to talk to some way like some.
You know, I would ask you for an example, but I'm not going to ask you for an example because I got that much dignity and I don't want to. No.
I know the best one when I had a couple. That was awesome because, see, they have to copulate in order to make me more wild slaves. What?
You know, the minute you said back when I was a dominatrix, I knew this was going to be gold. I knew it was going to be gold.
Yep. It's Tracy time.
I felt like Sophia in the, picture it. 1999. It's like a poor black sister gal trying to make ends meet. And she finds out about the internet.
Oh my Jesus.
Those were the early days.
Yes.
So I guess nobody caught what TW said.
No, what?
Never mind, you didn't catch it.
No. Oh, come on, Sparky. See, that's
don't spoil it.
What? He was talking about how I got
some gal tried to con me on a date. So,
oh, I did hear that.
Oh, I did catch that.
I definitely heard it.
Is that Megan?
No, somebody tried to con you, Sparky?
Yes, this gal from Massachusetts. She sent me pictures and everything. And she kept telling me all this stuff. And then finally it happened. She goes, can you send me $250? I said, honey, I ain't sending you a dime unless I see you show up at my front door naked.
Well, that's pretty bad.
I just want to ask Tracy something. Tracy, when you were at Dominatrix, was that during dial-up?
It was still, remember
they had dial-up internet. It was ding-ding, and then it took forever to get the.
No. It was after dial-up. It was the beginning of the DSL.
I'm just saying. You know, now I could understand why you charged so much because you had to wait for the feed to come back.
Yeah, Tracy would come up on your screen one pixel at a time.
I don't know. Maybe an OnlyFans page for, you know, suspiciously large woman.
You know what? Let me tell you something. My wife is hilarious because, you know, earlier in, you know, she actually, because I hadn't gotten rid of my bag of tricks, and we were cleaning up, and she found my bag of tricks, and, you know, the writing. What is it? The riding crop that was shaped in the shape of a black fist.
Oh God!
and the bridles and the stuff like that. And so yeah, pony clay stuff like that. Butt plugs, all that good stuff. And it's like
I was really hoping we'd get through the end of the show without.
stuff that you'll be buried with, right, Tracy?
So she asked me about it, and I had to tell her. I said, "Look, I was, you know, this was years, many years, and a whole lot of pounds ago. But you know, I was charging that my minimum was $300 an hour, depending on what they wanted. And this is, you know, early aughts money, y'all. So shit."
I think I've come up with my my stage name. I'm going to steal it from Kurt Vonnegut.
Okay.
Montana Wild Hack.
Robin, look, I'm telling you. I mean, if these people are, you know, get you what is it, OnlyFans page. And your funding situations will be a thing of the past. But see, you have, you know, and like to say, it's not that I didn't have dignity or respect. Like I said, it empowered me.
Yeah.
Because like I just, you know, because of what and how white men and, you know, feel and treat black women. And so to actually get paid to beat a white man's ass, please. I mean,
payback's a bitch.
For every swat, all that, I just thought of Kunta Kinte.
Oh, there you go.
What's your name?
Call my name. What's my name, bitch? Man, there's Trace. What? Say my name.
Oh, Jesus.
Muhammad Ali, say my name. What's my name?
Oh God! I think we'll the back porch will continue after the program goes off the air.
Hey, can I say something before?
Yeah.
Before people quit or something, just two quick comments and a question on the Washington Journal.
Sure.
The black guy on the weekend is, his first name is Jesse. I couldn't remember what his last name is, but yeah, I like that guy. And then Greta, it's like, I didn't know what was, I've been turning her off, man, cause I thought she was like going right wing, but, Todd kind of clarified that. And then Pedro, Was he really in rehab? Or
no, that's us. That's us.
That's a running joke. That's a running joke, bro.
Pedro, Pedro's got a bottle of rot gut tequila down there underneath the broadcast desk and a swirly straw.
You got to remember that Chuck Todd's real name is Tuck Chod.
I thought it was Joke Toad.
Remember from Ring Fire.
Yeah.
Tuck Chod.
Yeah, Tuck Chod.
No, it's Chuck. It's Chuck Toad. He's a toad.
Joke Toad.
There you go, Joke Toad.
Joke Chode.
What happened in the days out Jim Russert? You know, that's my thing.
Hey, Jack, good to hear from you this evening, my friend.
Okay. That's a, you know, I just had to, I was trying to get in when, you know, having Todd on here was like a special deal. I don't think he's been on Skype very much, if I'm correct.
Used to be.
Oh, okay. And then you had, and then, Robin, you hadn't been, going late very much, usually, but you were about to quit anyway, right?
No, I mean, I'm not quitting. I just got to get the program.
Well, no, I mean for the night.
Yeah, I just got to get, I got to get the program uploaded, and hopefully we'll knock down that other $70. And if we knock down the other $70, we will be at $720 come Monday. We'll just kind of cross our fingers. Thanks, Chris in Germany, for the challenge. I thought it was lovely. And thanks to everybody who's responded to it. It was so kind and so good and so nice. It's good. We're supposed to be sunny, and so maybe, you know, I perk up a little bit when it gets sunny. So I'll probably be out on my quest for fire again tomorrow. Because it goes on and on and on. By the way, our dear sister Jude said, appears to me Tracy has defined her balance in women's sexuality, varied as we are, one of honesty, realism, and vulnerability, if I may, and not hindering the process of her journey. And Jude has added that we've had a really good conversation this evening. Perfect example of passing the talking stick tonight. It was a really good, varied, rousing, wide-ranging, far-ranging conversation. And I, for one, appreciate it tremendously. I'll let you know how it goes with my new with Daddy Jackson there, who wants to be my sugar daddy. Yeah, no. I'm sorry, that's just too damn funny. I gotta block that dumb bastard.
You're not ready for that yet.
He said, Robin Wright, the walrus. He said, all you need is love.
Yeah, and cash. Well, I don't know. I could probably, I don't know, maybe I could sort out some things I still need to do that way. I don't know.
Hey, yeah, you know, Robin, maybe he'll be able to send you some cocaine tanks, you know, bottles. You know?
We'll talk dirty for propane. I guess it's just a slogan, you know.
I mean, I'm just kidding. Look.
You pass gas, he'll send you gas.
I'm paying him with propane and accessories.
Telling me you're trading mugs for gas.
No, I was thinking, we accept Visa, MasterCard, American Express, Diners Club, propane, and reconstructive surgery.
Don't forget yuzu sauce. Don't forget that, too.
Oh yeah, yuzu. Yeah, I tell you what, y'all. I don't know how you'd go about getting it, but I brought back one jar, and I wish I'd brought back so much more. I'm gonna bring back several when I come back after my follow up appointment in mid February. That Sneaky Pete's hot dog sauce is good. I haven't found anything it's not good on. It's great on chicken tenders. It's great on Kanaka. Oh, that stuff's good. Todd, did you look for it at all yet?
The weather has not been good here, and I haven't been out. But I remember, you know, honestly, you wouldn't say anything about food, and that just sounds delicious. That's all I can say.
Well, their hot dogs are real good, too. It's just basically limited to the Birmingham area, I think. But, I mean,
Oh wait, I bought that sneaky okay. Pete. I bought the sneaky Pete sauce in Florence. So there's that, and I'll have to load up on pimento cheese from Trowbridge's. I only brought back 4-pint cartons, and it's all gone now. That didn't take too long. God, it's so good. Got to get some authentic Dick Howell's hot dog slaw. Got to do that. And just in terms of program notes, might as well mark calendars now. I will be gone. Let's see. I'll probably leave here on the 14th and probably be gone that entire broadcast week. By the time I get down there, get the appointment. I'll probably leave on the 15th. Get down there, have the appointment, head up to Florence, and then head home. Literally going to the settlements for provisions.
Can I ask you something about that dog? Since you brought, now you're making a good hot. You know, if you don't have the right bun, it's just not the same.
No, it's not. I like those English buns.
The fat ones?
Oh. No. They're flat sided so that you can grill them.
Oh, like a pep. Okay, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, right. Those are my favorite hot dog buns.
I'm Chicago. Got to be poppy seed.
You see, sorry. I can't get those around. Christopher, I actually had a horrible hankering for a Chicago dog. I looked on Amazon. They had a full kit, and the thing was like $75.
Portillo's?
No, I don't know who it was, but they sent you the sport peppers. They sent you the the poppy seed buns. They sent you the celery salt. They sent you the mustard.
The relish from Mars,
and they sent you the Vienna beef hot dogs.
Speaking of ordering food, I still haven't gotten a response tonight, So, like I said, it's going to be like $67 for me to get 4 pints of ice cream and 2 pints of which was the strawberry pretzel ice cream, strawberry pretzel pie ice cream. And I have until Sunday to make up my mind if I'm going to spend $68.
You know what? After we talked about that, I did the math on it. And the $135 for 2 gallons of Bluebell is actually a better deal.
Right, but they don't go.
Hey, Robin.
That's a no. I won't be spending because I'm like I have to justify it, but I couldn't. And if you had to come up with a reason to justify it, I couldn't do. I mean, aside from the fact that it was only $13 or $18 for shipping, which is not terrible, but still.
Oh wow. Hey Tim, yeah, you found the sneaky Pete sauce.
Yep, and there's a phone number you can call and have it sent to your house.
Wonderful.
Ooh. I wonder if they got. Nah, there's no way they could ship that. The Trowbridge's pimento cheese. Mm-mm-mm.
Try them. You never know.
I gotta look around. I gotta look around this site. AlabamaGoods.com. Ooh, this is. Yeah. That just looks fun. Thanks for that. So thanks, everybody, for jumping in on fundraising this evening. Thanks to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thanks, Karen, for being a brand-new subscriber. That was wonderful. We got 4 more slots for new subscribers, thanks to Tim out in Iowa. He will double your first month subscription from $10 to $20 if you subscribe at $10. Thanks for that. And thanks to our a la carte contributors each and every evening. Thank you so much. Thanks for getting us so close to meeting Chris's challenge. I hope it happens maybe with the overnight crew. Thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks, Sparky. Thanks, Steve. Thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Remember, the back porch continues after this program goes off the air this evening. If you want to jump in, you can still get in via the button over at HeadOn.live. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And now a union shop. Please reach out to your member of the House of Representatives and ask him to co-sponsor H.R. 2073, the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act, the AHEC Act. It means the world to Appalachia. I hope you can get your hands on some KN95s and wear those everywhere you go. Make sure you're vaccinated and boosted. Use your hand sanitizer. Wash your hands every chance you get. You know, keep some hand lotion around, because all that hand washing really will tear your hands up. It'll dry them out something fierce. Hand sanitizer and social distancing 15 to 20 feet, like Paul from Parts Unknown says. And, well, you know, if somebody comes towards you saying, I ain't going to tell you if I got a booster because somebody might use it as a weapon against me, avoid that Harvard-educated fool like the plague. Because he is. I hope you all have a wonderful weekend. And I hope you can all, everybody who needs to stay warm, stay warm. Be careful. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later.